Blog Talk Radio.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. I seek refuge with Allah from Satan, the rejected enemy.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
In the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.
Praise be to Allah, the cherished sustainer of the worlds.
Ar-Rahmanir Rahim.
Most gracious, most merciful.
Maliki Yawmiddin.
Master of the Day of Judgment.
Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in.
You do we worship, and your aid do we seek.
Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim.
Show us the straight way.
Sirat al-ladhina an'amta.
The way of those whom you have bestowed with your grace.
Alayhim. Ghayri al-maghdubi alayhim. Wala ad-dallin.
Those whose portion is not wrath, and those who go not astray. Ameen.
Alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal. Alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal. Alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal.
Assalamu alaikum. This is American Muslim 360 radio broadcast. All right, assalamu alaikum, Ramadan Mubarak. This is American Muslim 360. I'm Thomas Abdul Salam, the twin servant of peace. We want to welcome you to this early morning edition here on Friday, Juma Mubarak to you as well. And again, the Juma is at 1:30 Central Standard Time, Mobile, Alabama. Their Ramadan session this weekend. And we will be carrying the Juma from Mobile, Alabama. So we invite you back at 11:30 Pacific Standard Time. That's 12:30 in the mountains, 1:30 Central Standard Time, and 2:30 on the East Coast. So please come back and join the Juma here on American Muslim 360. And this is the seventh day. Last night was the seventh night. This is the seventh day of Ramadan. For those particularly who started their initial fast, sighted the moon on Friday night last week, and then started fasting on Saturday morning. For other people, they are in their eighth day. Depending on whichever one you are, we still say Ramadan Mubarak to you, and we wish you the best of Ramadan. Hope that you are keeping up with your reading, keeping up with your prayers, developing a better relationship, I say, with self and Allah. A lot of times we forget to work on self during the month of Ramadan, but spend some time with you. Ask yourself, what is it that I need to be a better person, to be a more prayerful person, a much more calmer person? What is it that I need to increase my faith and increase my faith in and about? Sometimes we as people and Muslims, particularly in this case, we get so caught up in the spiritual matters during this month that we forget the social matters. And the social matters matter. We as human beings, we are as Allah says, He's created everything in communities. We are part of a community. While we may stand alone as an individual, we are part of a community. That initial community is most likely your family. And then from there you branch out and become part of other communities. But as a total family of human beings, we are a social body of people. The social needs, the social concerns need to be paramount in our development in the month of Ramadan. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that none of you believe until you love for your brother or your sister what you love for yourself. Social context. That we have to love for others. We have to want for others. Desire for others as we desire for ourselves. So check self out and then inshallah expand on what you want, what you desire, and see how you can assist others in their pursuits in life as well. So I just want to quickly remind you that the social you is important. It's important. This morning, inshallah, we're going to try to talk about goal setting. During the month of Ramadan, a lot of us, like the new year for the Muslim. But we begin to think about, you know, what do we want our future to be? How do we improve ourselves? How do we increase ourselves? How do we do a lot of things different? So we may be reviewing what we've learned in the past year, what has happened to us in the last year since the last time we entered Ramadan. We just want to sit down and brainstorm and think about what are some of the meaningful moments, the events, what accomplishments have you made? What mistakes have you made? What new people have come into your life? What old ones have made left out of your life? But goal setting, trying to establish for yourself what is it that you are shooting for? I met a woman the other day, her name was Destiny. I said, so do you have a destiny? She just kind of laughed and smiled, a young girl. But that's the point. What is your destiny? Where are you headed from here? It is better that we have some idea, some inkling of a direction for ourselves. Whether it's going back to school, career opportunities, business opportunities. Where are we headed from here? Where do we want to be from this point forward? So goal setting, I say during the month of Ramadan, could be a part of your self-improvement, part of you setting out and saying to yourself, I've come a certain distance. I may have reached some of the goals or objectives that I've had. I may have thought through some things. But now, how do I hit the mark? How do I get from here to there? It's not that we're too old to have goals. And we're definitely not too young to have goals. But I think that if you start sitting down or thinking through and try to extract lessons from what you have experienced in your life. Some of us may still be struggling with what we may call our purpose in life. We may don't feel like we've reached the purpose or never declared the purpose. This is a good time to sit down and ask yourself, what is the purpose? Spiritually, you look at a purpose, and I say socially, you look at a purpose. There's a saying that goes that we have a heavenly mission and an earthly purpose. I think it's the other way around. I think it's heavenly purpose and an earthly mission. So what is your heavenly purpose? And then what is your earthly mission? Clarify for yourself what path you are on. Where are you headed from here? Look at what is your, I guess, personal conduct. See how you've grown in the past year. Where have you been able to make great strides in? Maybe other places you haven't gone as far as you wish you could have. But stop and take inventory of yourself. See where you have come in the course of a year. You know, we enter Ramadan talking about, oh, I've gotten this habit and that habit. I want to stop doing this or do that, or want to look at, you know, we have these, I guess you can say, self-inventory, I guess, somewhat of ourselves. But make sure it's an accurate picture. Okay? Ask yourself, from last year to this year, what have I accomplished? What three things are you known for? What do people say about you? You're smart, you're financial whiz, or you know, what three things are you known for? Again, what are you currently working on? And what is your passion? What challenges you in the things that you're working on right now? Also, there, and I was going to say, going back to the what challenges you, you know, name at least four or five things that challenge you right now, or four or five things you have a passion for right now. What have you learned? What new things? Many of us, we set goals, particularly of learning the Quran in Arabic, reading the Quran in Arabic, learning the 99 names of Allah. Or we say we're going to get an Islamic degree or get some information. We may say we want to go back to school. My point really now is what have you learned? Maybe the last 3 months or so before Ramadan. What kind of relationships? What are the important relationships that you have developed in your life? With who? Name your important relationships. Then, from those, ask yourself again, from what I've seen myself in the past, what I've learned, the people in my life, the things I'm known for, the things that challenges me. Where does it look like I'm going from here? Where does it look like you're headed from here? And then try to sit down and paint a picture of the future. Between now and next Ramadan, you will have done what? You would have accomplished what? So that you're not just sitting down on your laurels, so to speak. Many of us, we set goals, we establish goals, or we at least talk about them, but we never take action. So I want you to think about your goals in terms of action-oriented. What are you really going to do? Are they really things that move you, challenge you? Are they really the things that you have a real propensity to finish, to accomplish? Communities, meaning the masjid in this case, this could be a good time for reflection on the community's future, the community's goals. What do we want to do collectively? We want to add a new addition to the masjid. We want to put on a certain event. We'd like to increase our membership by 25%. What do we want to do as a community? We want to be known for or become the top sales community of the Muslim Journal. We want to challenge the rest of the community to sell more Muslim journals than we do. We want to have more than 50% of our community who knows and can read the Quran in Arabic. We have to set goals. We have to establish directions, purpose. Does the masjid only exist for the five prayer service? What else does it stand for? What is its purpose? What does it offer in terms of benefit to the membership, to the body? We may also need to establish what I call right now community in this sense, meaning what is our relationship with the outside world, the non-Muslim world, so to speak? Interfaith activities, where do we participate in hunger drives or food drives? What are we going to be known for? Go back to those three things. What are we known for in the wider community as a masjid? What are we known for? Are we known for anything? Do people even care that we exist? If we went out of existence, would the community even miss us? What benefit do you offer to the wider community? So goal setting is not just for the individual. It is also for the group collective, so that they themselves can have a group collective purpose. We get up in the morning, we know, or we ran across a resource, we can say to ourselves, this is what we've been looking for. You meet someone, you can say, this person is somebody I think I need to introduce to Sister So-and-so or Brother So-and-so, who's working on X project. Otherwise, we meet individuals, and they may be very interesting individuals, but we don't know where they fit. What is their purpose in our life? Why did I come across this person today? collectively, we need to determine where we headed. America the Muslim 360 is also looking at our purpose. How do we serve you? How do we intend to serve you in the future? How can we improve on our host, family of host? And matter of fact, that may be a good time to say, well, let me say, because I don't know if I'm going to be able to say to you before again. Inshallah, Dr. Bilal Phillips will be joining American Muslim 360 as a regular host. And I think you're going to be in for a real treat. Part of us improving ourselves, reaching higher, trying to, one of our goals is to bring you scholarship. And Dr. Bilal has, inshallah, gracefully agreed to become a part of our family, but he's also going to be bringing with him a global, we may listen to that, a global scholar, group of scholars, one not only outside of our own present community, meaning Mujahid Water to Deen Muhammad, but outside of these United States. We need to be able to hear what globally, from the global Islamic leaders, and he is a global globetrotter, I guess I could say, a globetrotter. That's part of us trying to improve ourself. We need to be able to hear different voices, and inshallah, you know, like sometimes people say, we're preaching to the choir. When all you have is yourself, that's what they mean a lot of times. You're already preaching to the choir. So we want to expand on this thing. So that's one of the things that we're going to be bringing to you, and hopefully, inshallah, maybe as early as next Wednesday evening, August the 1st, Dr. Bilal Phillips, and I say in company, we don't have a direct name for his show as of yet, but we hope to have one very, very soon. But hopefully as early as next Wednesday, we will be introducing to you Dr. Bilal Phillips, and inshallah, his international crew of people who we will be able to bring to you on American Muslim 360. We have some other things that are in the making, but we're going to wait on those announcements when we can be more sure and clear about them. But getting back to the purpose, goal setting, you have to know where you're going, where you're headed. Collectively, as a body of people, we should be able to articulate, we should be able to say out loud, here are the 5 goals of this community for the coming year. Those would be called short-term goals. Long-term goals are 3 to 5 years out. What are the long-term goals of the community or of self? Where do you want to be 5 years from now? There's another saying that goes something like this. You know, the next 5 years are going to happen. The only difference is whether you make good use of them. Okay? Inshallah, I'm going to need to take a suhoor break. And so inshallah, what I need for you guys to do is to hold on for a moment. I apologize, but we're going to need to take a break, and let me find something that I can give to you while I do so, inshallah. All right, but anyway, we'll be right back here on American Muslim 360. I do have a particular song in mind that I'm going to give you, so let me give me time to sort of find it here on American Muslim 360. Okay, passed it up. Here we go.
Did I bow my head, my knees, and I pray each and every day,
each and every day,
as I go on my way,
I go on my way,
it'll be over. And as the noonday,
as the sun
declines, did I bow my head, my knees, and I pray that my children grow, and the love of my life will surely know. That is okay. And I know that Allah has control, and everything is well within control. So I bow and I pray
each and every day.
It'll be okay. And in the evening, as the sun declines, did I bow my head, my knees, and I pray, and I thank Allah, brought me through this day so far, and it's over. When the night has come, and the day is done, sit I bow my head, my knees, and I pray, He brought me through this day, help me all along the way. And it's okay.
And I know that love has control. And everything in the world is untrue. Oh, so I bow and I pray each and every day. When the night shines through, and I say to you, let us bow our heads, our knees, and let's pray, 'cause
another day,
surely, truly on its way, pray. That is okay. And
I know
that love has control. And everything in the world is control.
Assalamu alaikum. Apologize for the silence there, but yeah, fortunately I didn't get up as early as I normally do today. Body was just totally under it. Anyway, here I am back on American Muslim 360, inshallah. We was talking about goal setting, and next in a little bit I'm going to take a Fajr break as well. Fajr is coming in a little later this on the West Coast, but anyway, we're talking about goal setting, and that the community, including whether it's personal goals, collective goals, and what are our goals? You should be able to say, what is your top five goals? You should be able to articulate that to yourself. What do you want to do? What do you like to happen for you in the coming year? And right now we move to long-term goals, but be able to articulate what your goals are. Long-term goals are 3 to 5 years out. Our long-term goals could be more like, let's say that we would like to be the community. Let's start up there. Well, this works for both of us, whether it's community or personal. But what type of financial position would you like to be in? A year from here? 3 years from here? 5 years from here? And how do you plan on getting there? How do you plan on making that happen? We could have long-term goals related to, getting back to the Muslim Journal, we could have a long-term goal as a community, and let's take it nationally right now. If we honestly want this paper to survive, we would collectively get together and say that each master and or person will take X number of papers or subscriptions. We're going to do a subscription drive where our goal is to sell 200,000 to 250,000 subscriptions nationwide for the Muslim Journal. We like to do that in the course over the course of the next 3 years. That's a long-term goal for us collectively as a community. And then set out to do it. Challenge each other to create 250,000 subscriptions, paid subscriptions for the Muslim Journal. Whether we bought some for our friends, we got on the street and sold them, but it also will help you understand what is your relationship with the community. Do people feel that this is of benefit to them? But goals. What are your goals? What do we have? What are our goals as a community? Meaning just the master yet right now. But on the other end, do we have, can we have national goals as a body of people? And we used to, particularly Nation of Islam days, the goals, the objectives were set for us. We were not able to participate in the goal setting. You were just told you will sell 300 papers a week. You didn't have to say, well, I'm only going to do, no. You were told what the goals were. Now we are able to participate. And we have less goal setting. We have less goals today than we did back in the day. But this month of Ramadan is probably a good time to reflect upon what are your goals. If we can rally around the goals, we probably can create a better bond among ourselves. And at the same time, it will give us, or at least define for us, what is that working relationship that we have. We have to be, or we should be, concerned about the working relationship of the body of people in which we are a part of, i.e. the masjid. You know, you've seen churches, they may be working very well together, but as a church begins to grow, sometimes it can splinter. Things, say, the community itself, relationships can begin to deteriorate, whether they're with the leadership or with each other. We are and have been, in most cases, not really any different. You group dynamics are going to have a big role, play a big role in the accomplishment of your goals. So part of goal setting, and as we're getting to the participation part, is that people participate and you allow people to participate, even the ones that you may not care that much about, or you don't think they have something to say. Because the more people participate, the more likely they're going to participate in reaching the goals. Don't shut people out. All right, there go Fajit in right there. Take a break in a moment, and we're going to do Fajit here. But I do it at the top of the hour when Bilal comes on. We'll give you that. But the point is that people, the group dynamics, when it comes to accomplishing goals, not all of it, but some of it, can be diminished, satisfied, if people sense they've participated in it. They had a say in it. And I mean a real say. A real say. So make sure that people are invited in. This is not just the leadership saying, here is what our goals are this year. We may want to point out certain things to the body, such as the air conditioner needs replacing. We're going to have to replace that sometime very, very soon, i.e. in the next year or 2 years. We're going to know that the building is going to need to be repainted. We know that our financial contributions are not keeping up with the growth of the community. And therefore, we're going to need to set higher goals or collect more. In this case, what we call Zakat. Erico 718, you have a question or comment?
But my man said he was wounded and in the hospital.
Okay, maybe not. A lot of things going on in the background. Anyway, so it doesn't have to be, and you don't want it to be, driven from the top down. But allow the body, in a lot of cases, from bottom to up. What are the goals going to be? And make goals that challenge yourself. Some goals are not going to be that challenging. You know you're going to accomplish this. It's just something that needs to be get stated, written down, and that's the other piece of it. Goals should needs to be written down, and then go after them. But some goals are going to be very simple. Nothing wrong with that. You need to decide that these simple things need to get done, and we need to record them and track them and get them done. Other goals are going to be more challenging, such as we need to increase our financial cash flow by 25% just to keep up with the bills to make things happen. You don't have, the people are already giving to the maximum that they can give. So where is this new money going to come from? You have to figure out what are the new sources. Where is this money going to come from? Hopefully you make an increased membership. But most likely you're going to have to create a new entity from which that money will flow. Another one to maybe bring up at this time is we have certain mainstays in the community, particularly that of the World for Deen Muhammad. Well, actually in a lot of these communities, but I'm going to talk mostly about ours. That's the conventions, the different events that go on. To be honest with you, most events have outlived their usefulness. The event is not all that useful. So one of the things that we also need to do is set new goals, new objectives for our events. And that may even redefine the purpose of them, the participants in them, and maybe renaming or refocusing the event altogether. We're no longer going to do whatever it was that we did in the past. We're going to come up with a whole new approach. This may help you increase the revenue, the attendance to that particular event. An event been going on for 10, 15, 20 years, 30 years. I mean, how many times am I going to come to that event and the same old things, the same old presenters are there? How much money do you think I'm going to spend to come to that event? I'm not talking about any event. I mean, I'm not downing any event. But some events have lost their shine. So as you do goal setting, start thinking through what is new here. Why are we inviting people to get on a plane, to travel, get in their car, to check into a hotel, to have to pay for all these expenses? What do we give to the people? What do they get out of this? What benefit do we serve to the community? Got to be more than just a good time. Or you got to be able to throw the, quote, best party in town, so to speak. And nothing wrong with that. If that's what the event is about, then make it that, but make it the best party in town. What do we walk away with? So in some cases, in most, a lot of cases, events themselves need to have goals. What do we want the people to walk away with? What feeling do we want? What experience do we want them to have? And how are we going to stay connected to that group of people in the course of a year to see if any of these things took place? Okay. Again, this is not a condemnation, but it's just the observation. A lot of our events are lecture-oriented and not goal-oriented. That may serve its purpose in the beginning, but does it serve us long-term? Where is that going to take us, get us in the future? It's okay for the most part because we have yet to establish any collective long-term goals for ourselves. So therefore, we have no real expectations of this event versus the next event because we don't know where they fit in at. We don't know what purpose they hold for us, individually nor collectively. And the organizers, again, not talking about anybody, but the organizers have not given thought to what is, why do I exist? Okay. We've made enough hotels rich. We've paid enough in meals to send the restaurant owners' children to college. But what have we done for ourselves in the process? All right. What have we done in the process? All right. Want to, I guess, take a little break, a little sidestep. And again, remind you that the Mobile, Alabama Muslim Community, Masjid of El Islam in Mobile, Alabama, they will be having their Ramadan, they don't call it session, but I'm lost for their real word. But they're going to have their Ramadan session this weekend. We encourage you, if you're in the area, please go, invite, and participate. Their goal is to help you increase your knowledge in the Quran and ask yourself, again, you may really be right now needing to increase, so go to the event, participate. Our Juma is going to come from Mobile, Alabama, Masjid El Islam, this evening, this afternoon, 1 p.m. Central Standard Time. So inshallah, please come back and enjoy that as well. And I'm assuming a lot of you may have gotten on the call with Saleem Mukmin this morning. We also need to say that he will not be on America Muslim 360 the entire month of Ramadan. So Thursday nights will be only 1 hour. Saleem will not be with us. Amadou will not be with us. Only Imam Yahya Abdullah will be with us on Thursday night. So we will only have a one-hour show on Thursday night for the most part during Ramadan, at least for the next 2 weeks until I return. I'm going to be, me and my wife are going to be away ourselves for about 2 weeks. So inshallah, know that on Thursday evenings, we will only start the shows at using the Eastern Standard Time at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And there will be only one show, and that is Clear Concepts on Thursday evening. Inshallah, all the other shows will stay in place. At 1:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 1:30 Central Standard Time. I hope that's what I said the Jumu'ah is going to be. Just got to 1:30 Central Standard Time now. If I'm not correct, then correct me now, because that's what I got to set up for. The Jumu'ah today is at 1:30 Central Standard Time. 11:30 on the West Coast, 12:30 in the mountains, 1:30 Central Standard Time, and 2:30 Eastern Standard Time. Hope and pray we got that right. Okay, so with those things said and done, any questions or comments that you may have, let's double check on 718. I don't know what's going on there. Area code 718, you have a question or comment? Area code 718. Please press 1. Take yourself out of the queue, please. Anybody else having a question or comment, we'd be more than happy to entertain that question or comment. And that is Sister Debbie.
I just wanted to tell all who I consider my teachers out there, the audience and people that call in at American Muslim 360, Ramadan Mubarak, and thank you. I'm learning a lot this Ramadan just listening to you all, and I'm remembering things in the past that are now clear to me with an understanding, alhamdulillah. So I just want to thank all my teachers out there, including you, Thomas, at American Muslim 360.
Oh, well, alhamdulillah, we appreciate you as well. We wouldn't be great teachers if we didn't have great students.
Oh, mashallah.
And a great story. Alhamdulillah. Anybody else? Question or comment? Excuse me. Anybody else? Question or comment that you may or may not have on anything that was said today? You'd like to add something to it? I guess I'm such a distance you can't poke me in the eyes. But if I was, not that I would allow you to poke me in my eyes, but again, anything you might want to say or add to that conversation, be more than happy to do so. But today we talked about goals and this month of Ramadan, since we are probably quite alert during this month. We have a lot of time on our hands. We're not maybe watching as much television. We're not going as many places. Our energy may be a little less than what it used to be, but we have time to think about the future. Many of us were reflecting on it. So take pen and paper and ask yourself, so what do I want to accomplish from here? Where do I want to be? In fact, we have another one that we do. It's called A Year From Here. A year from here. Where do you want to be a year from here? Okay. And we can do those kinds of goal setting workshops and so forth. A year from here. Where do you want to be a year from here? And you can make it happen almost. Guarantee yourself that you can make it happen. You got to get motivated. You have to challenge yourself. You're going to have to dig a little deeper. You're going to have to understand yourself better. You're going to have to understand yourself collectively as a community better, and maybe even the teachings of Islam, the life of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the whole body of information, and Wajadi Waratuddin Muhammad. So, dig deeper and ask yourself, so what are you passionate about? What is this community's passion? What are our values? What is our purpose? Let's answer those questions. I know all of us were passionate about spreading Islam, but are we also passionate about helping the poor? You know, what is the passion that we have or that we share as a community? Okay. Dr. Ahmed will be delivering the khutbah. Dr. Nasser Ahmed will be delivering the khutbah. He's out of Florida, and the title of the khutbah today is Quality of Muhammad's Heart for Receiving Quran. The quality of Muhammad's heart for receiving Quran. That's the title of the Jummah khutbah for today. Again, 1:30 Central Standard Time. All right. You know, what passions do we share that will help us determine some things for ourselves? What do we like? What do we really want to accomplish? Then, that's what I was saying a little bit, but don't make everything about making somebody Muslim. You know, make it about how do you serve. Look at the needs, the gaps in your community, your internal community, as well as your external community. And then fill those gaps. Set goals, set objectives to say, we're going to start filling these gaps. The other time when you hear, and most of the time the Republicans have this terminology about the safety net. They have this term called the safety net. Well, the safety net is about, we're only going to allow people to fall so far. But we do believe in falling. But once you get to this level, whatever level that is, then we're going to step in and fill the gaps for you, i.e., whether that's food stamps, I guess, unemployment. I like to think it includes health care, so forth and so on. But their safety net may be set quite low. So in your community, you may ask yourself, so what is the safety net here? How do we keep people above a certain line, so to speak? All right? We can do food drives. We can have clothing. We can have furniture for people. We can have certain classes and so forth and so on. But again, do something that is not so, quote, religious per se. Set some other goals, some social goals. Okie dokie. We have the Bilal Strauss Show, and they are, at least one somebody is signing on. So let us begin to move in that direction and have everybody, inshallah, when they get on, we're going to go ahead and stop and make our salat and then be right back.
Are you looking for a great education in Islamic studies? Then Islamic Online University is the place to be. The Islamic Online University is the world's first tuition-free Bachelor's of Arts in Islamic Studies in English completely online. The Islamic Online University offers a series of free diploma classes along with intensive undergraduate and graduate courses guided by Dean and founder himself, Dr. Bilal Phillips. Take advantage of this unique opportunity right now to deeply understand the major areas of Islam. Apply what you learn to your lives and share this divine legacy with the world around you. Register right now at www.islamiconlineuniversity.com. Anyone, anytime, anywhere. Your free education awaits you today. Go to www.islamiconlineuniversity.com.
Hodge Pros in partnership with America Muslim 360 membership.
American Muslim 360 is proud to present Your Holistic Health with Dr. Abdel J. Nuruddin.
As for that, people, I was anyway, I was in the back room talking with somebody and clicking all the wrong buttons on here. So again, this is not for your holistic health. Dr. Abdel J. Nuruddin is not coming on. And inshallah, we have with us our brother Bilal Strauss. Assalamu alaikum, Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan Kareem. How you doing, soldier?
I'm doing quite well, my brother. Quite well this morning. And none of your up there go. I guess that Sister Amira just signed on. And,
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. I don't see Brother Mataki tonight, right now. But if you're on, please press 1 on your phone so we can get you signed on as well. All right, my brother, I'm just going to turn it on over to you. I'm going to go ahead and make Fajit and be right back.
Okay, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Alhamdulillah, brothers and sisters, I am happy, I am elated to be with you this morning here in the Bilal Stroud Show, No Excuses Radio, broadcasting live from Atlanta, Georgia. I'm your host, yours truly, Bilal Stroud, motivational speaker. I am joined today by my sister, the lady of the hour, my co-host, Ms. Amira Rahman, poet extraordinaire and educator. Ms. Amira Rahman, are you on the line today, my sister?
Yeah, assalamu alaikum. How are you today?
Wa alaikum salam, my sister. Alhamdulillah. May Allah reward you. I'm doing well. Alhamdulillah. Inshallah, we should be joined by my other co-host, Brother Mutaki Ismail, inshallah. Very soon, inshallah. May Allah bless him. And may Allah
bless him. We have a special treat today.
Brother Mataki, are you online, Brother Mataki?
Is that Mataki?
If you hear me, I guess I am. I don't know.
What?
You hear me? Oh, there you go.
Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
We had to drag you out here today. That's good. It's good to hear you. Ramadan Kareem.
Ramadan Mubarak. Good to hear you guys also. Don't have coffee today. So I'm really messed up.
You know, I'm so happy to have my brother Mutaki join us again today. The other portion of the show, Brother Mutaki Ismail, has you know, brings a different ingredient to the stew of the show. Alhamdulillah. Welcome back, Brother Mutaki. May Allah protect and preserve you, my brother. And may he make things easy for you, alhamdulillah, to have Amira and Mutaki, mashallah. Thank you, Allah, alhamdulillah. May Allah make things easy. You know, today we're going to talk about a very serious subject today, a subject that is greatly needed to be, you know, discussed and talked about. Alhamdulillah, my two co-hosts here, inshallah, we're going to discuss that today, as well as all of you. And that topic is the power or the importance of positive self-talk, okay, or the power of self-affirmation. It's very, very important because you'd be surprised how many people actually stop themselves from actually going forward and succeeding because of negative self-talk. They talk themselves out of succeeding. They allow negative feedback to actually, you know, become such a fundamental part of their lives, they cannot move forward. They're always second-guessing themselves. They're always, you know, sabotaging their own dreams. It's not necessarily people on the outside. Sometimes we do it to ourselves. So today we're going to talk about the power of positive self-talk and self-affirmation. Very, very important. And alhamdulillah, you know, we have a lot of, you know, ammunition to talk about today. Again, we all know individuals out there who, for whatever reason, just refuse to move forward in their lives because they have a lot of serious self-doubt, and they talk themselves out of moving forward. So today, inshallah ta'ala, the power of positive self-talk, self-affirmation, here on the Bilal Stroud Show, No Excuses Radio, broadcasting live from Atlanta, Georgia, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. Brother Mutaki and Sister Mira, you first, inshallah ta'ala. Could you give us some examples of people that you've known in the past who just, for whatever reason, just refuse to move forward because they're always second-guessing themselves. They're always talking down about themselves and, I can't do this, I can't do that. And you try to encourage them, but they keep sabotaging their own dreams. Could you give us some examples of that, my sister?
Oh, wow. There's too many examples to actually go around. And what people don't understand is that in life, you know, especially us being as Muslim, we should understand that Allah said that what we do throughout the day, what we do throughout our lives is about our intentions. So when we go before He makes a lot, we intend to make a lot. So we are making dua to Allah, and we're making intention for other things. We're making these duas, and we're saying them out loud, you know, so that Allah can hear our duas. And the angels can take that and say, okay, this person has made intention to do this, that, and the other. So what we have to understand is we're saying negative things about ourselves and saying, oh, I'm not going to get that job. And you're saying it out loud. That, in a way, becomes like your intent. Your intent isn't to go and get your job. You're just going there, but you have said out loud into the universe that you're not going to get it. And if you say it enough, these things begin to happen to you. If you're saying, you know, anything negative about yourself or about others around you, you know, you're constantly putting negative things into the universe, and these things began to happen to you because that is your expectation. That is your intent for that day, is not to be successful. So when we say positive things, or when, even if we're not feeling them, and you say these things, it brings about good because your intent is to achieve that good thing. So to the people who want to, you know, who have negative talk or, you know, about themselves, they are sabotaging themselves. And even if you think something negative, you should replace it with a positive thought, a positive statement. And after a while of doing that, it becomes part of you. Because if you constantly say something positive, it becomes part of you. If that's what you're saying consistently, I'm going to achieve this, I'm going to achieve this, and you're working towards it, it becomes part of you. So then when you're saying it so many times, you begin to believe it. That is your intent. That is the law here that you're saying that you want to do. That is the angels are reporting back that you want to do. So it's important to have a positive self-talk.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Brother Mutaki,
yes,
your
sir.
Take, my brother. Your take, my brother. Even I know you didn't have your coffee this morning. But
I was like, can you just pass the brother a cup of coffee this morning?
Your take, brother. What's up?
Okay, well, as far as negative talk is concerned, one of the prime examples is from the story of Cain and Abel, Adam and Qabil in Arabic, when the two brothers, the two sons of Adam, they presented a sacrifice to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and It was accepted from one, but not the other. And what does Cain say when that happens? He says, I'm going to kill you. And so he goes after his brother, and he winds up killing his brother. After he kills his brother, Allah sends a crow to show him how to bury him. And Cain is looking down at what he's done. And now all of a sudden he feels remorse, and he feels sad for what he's done. But he still is basically speaking negative thoughts to himself and speaking to himself in a negative manner. And he's saying, what is wrong with me? I couldn't even figure out to bury my brother, that this bird had to come down and show me what to do. And so he sees himself as being less than his brother, and it was always that way because his initial sacrifice wasn't accepted. Now, as far as positive affirmation or showing that something will happen by just believing it, one of the best examples is from the time of Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when him and the companions were still in Mecca and they were being persecuted by the Quraysh, by the pagan Quraysh. And one of the early Sahabas came to the Prophet and asked him, okay, Prophet Muhammad, Messenger of Allah, you said we're going to do this, you said we're going to do that, and you're the Messenger of Allah. Can't you just make dua to Allah to wipe these people out or give us victory? And the Prophet turned to him and said, there were people from the past who would have hot combs dragged over their body until their skin would fall off of them, and yet they would still not turn away from Allah. But you people are impatient. Verily, we will, Islam, this thing of ours, this affair of ours will spread all the way to the thrones of Khusra, who was at that time the emperor of Persia, which was an unimaginable thing for him to be saying. Here it was, these people were in the valley being persecuted and starved and beaten and just having their property and everything taken away from them. And he's telling them that just be patient. This thing is going to run the world if you just stick with me. And that is one of the most powerful statements of positive self-affirmation that I know of from the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Alhamdulillah. You know, for what it's worth, you know, I want everybody to really, really reflect on, you know, the Nation of Islam. The Nation of Islam had the ability, at least in its zenith, to actually take people who were drug addicts, who were prostitutes, who were people who received daily negative feedback and managed to take them, clean them up, and get them to start their own businesses and become totally self-sufficient and independent is a huge, huge thing. So Malcolm, along with Elijah Muhammad, along with other people, had the ability to convey a thought or a process to their followers that you can do something, you can do this, you can do that. And Malcolm was a master teacher. He was a master teacher. He had the ability to convey that to people. So after listening to Malcolm, you wanted to take on the world, and you felt good about yourself because, you know, we grew up, you know, looking at negative images, whether on television, in magazines, or what have you. And so as, you know, speaking from, you know, the African-American perspective here briefly, that we were given all these negative stimuli our whole lives. And so many of us still to this day still suffer from some of those negative effects. And so now what we have to do is we have to take responsibility for our own actions, stop blaming others for our situation, and we must move forward and do what we can do ourselves to achieve success, to achieve whatever goals we have to set in place. But before we do that, we must eliminate negative self-talk from our vocabulary, our negative self-thoughts, negative self-thoughts from our own mind. And once we do that, then we can move forward and really put those goals and aspirations into practice and thereby achieving success, whatever it may be, whether it be starting your own business, whether it be becoming more financially stable, whatever you want to do, you can do it, but you must first change how you think, what you think, and what you say is very important. This is what we're going to talk about today on the Bilal Stroud Show, positive self-affirmations and eliminating self-talk. Here on the Bilal Stroud Show, No Excuses Radio, on the blowtorch of the Ummah of Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, American Muslim 360. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, will discuss more about this very important subject with Ms. Amira Rahman, poet extraordinaire, lady of the hour, Mr. Mutaki Ismail, Islamic lecturer and writer, and yours truly, Bilal Stroud, motivational speaker, here on the Bilal Stroud Show, No Excuses Radio. We'll be right back, inshallah.
Look inside. Look inside a copy of Aziza. Inspire yourself with stories of amazing women. Inform yourself about pressing issues in our community. Look inside a copy of Aziza. Illuminate your mind with revealing articles. Ignite your senses with colorful art and pictures. Include yourself in the powerful conversation. Look inside a copy of Aziza. Subscribe today at www.azizamagazine.com.
FitMuslimah.com invites you to join us on our journey of health and fitness. Here you'll find articles, online videos, and a network of other health and fitness-minded Muslim women. Join us online at FitMuslimah.com and at our live, all-inclusive retreats for Muslim women. No matter where your journey is destined to end, begin at FitMuslimah.com.
Masjid of El Islam, Mobile, Alabama, would like to invite you to July 27th through the 29th, studying and implementing the Quran, Ramadan, July 27th through the 29th, featuring Imam Kazim Akmer, Imam Muhammad Abdullah, and Imam Nas Akmer. For more information, call 251-591-1576, Brother Nasheed or Brother Henry, 251-404-2987. For accommodations at the Ashbury Hotel, 251-344-8040, 251-344-8040, or the Quality Inn, 251-343-4949. And remember to mention Ramadan, July 27th through the 29th, studying and implementing the Quran. Free to seniors over 70, married couples, $75. Singles, $50. On behalf of the Mobile Islamic Community, Ramadan Mubarak.
And assalamu alaikum again. The Jumawi is from Mobile, Alabama, from the Ramadan session today. So please come back, 1:30 Eastern Standard Time here on American and Muslim 360. Give you back to Bilal Strauss and company.
Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Bilal Stroud Show, No Excuses Radio. You're listening to the voice of yours truly, Bilal Stroud, motivational speaker, broadcasting live from Atlanta, Georgia. We're joined live on the line with Lady of the Hour, poet extraordinaire, Ms. Amira Rahman, and my brother from another mother, Mutaki Ismail, Islamic lecturer and author. If you have any questions, concerns, or comments, you may call in now, inshallah. May Allah reward you and bless you, inshallah ta'ala, and we will work to get you and put you on the air.
Assalamu alaikum.
You know, wa alaikum salam.
Hey, the phone number is 618.
Erico 618. Okay, hold on here. I thought that was 618 wanted to have a question or comment. 618, do you have a question or comment? Okay, no, maybe. I'm sorry. They pressed it by mistake. Back to you, Bilal.
Okay, alhamdulillah. You know, as I think about negative self-talk, there's a very famous story I like to convey to everybody about an individual who refused to allow negative self-talk to stop him from his goals and aspirations. You know, there was a man who lived in Kentucky at one time, and he had a recipe for fried chicken. Okay, and he knew that his recipe was very, very good. And so he went to different restaurateurs and asked them if he could sell them his recipe. And the only thing he wanted was, he told them, if you use my recipe and cook this fried chicken, only thing I ask you to do is give me a portion of the money that you make. He was turned down over and over and over and over again. He was turned down hundreds of times, hundreds of times. And finally, He kept going. He did not allow negative self-talk. I'm sure people told him, oh, you can't do this. Get out of here. I don't need this recipe. I don't need it. I don't need it. I don't need it. But he refused to give up. And eventually he found a gentleman who did take him up on his offer. And later on, he became famous. He became known as Colonel Sanders, you know, Kentucky Fried Chicken. You know, so that's a very important story, because if you allow other people to impart within you such negativity where you become stymied and stiff with fear and you do not do what you set out to do, then, you know, you just, again, you cannot allow that to happen. And if Colonel Sanders allowed these people to stop him from living his dream, you know, the restaurant chain never would have started. So all of us can think of people in our lives who were so negative to us. You know, how did we react? What are we saying to ourselves right now? Just like I think Amira said earlier, and then I'll pass the mic over to Brother Mutaki. Amira talked about the, you know, putting negativity out in the universe, and what she says is absolutely true, absolutely true. And I've said that before, that we're all what I call transistor radios. We're all radios in the sense that we give off vibrations and energy into the air. And if you put out a certain type of energy and vibe, that's what's going to come back to you. And that old saying goes, what goes around comes around. So if you want money, then you should give more. You should give money away. You know, to be honest with you, the best way to receive things is to give it away. If you want respect, you must give respect. If you want money, increase in your charity, inshallah. If you want love to come to you, you must be loving to others. That's how it works. So, inshallah ta'ala, you know, negative self-talk is something that we must eliminate from our minds and our vocabulary. When you say negative things, you put those things out, things will come back to you, inshallah. Brother Mutaki, your take, brother. Mutaki, are you with us?
Can I do the cricket sound? I really want to do the cricket sound.
Okay. I don't know what happened. Maybe he's drinking his coffee. Miss Rahman, your take, my sister.
I hope that
Folgers is good this morning.
Oh, my goodness. Also speaking of positive talking, I'm still laughing at Mutaki. When we speak positive and we're seeing positive things about ourselves, and we are allowing and putting positivity into our lives. And if you speak positive, you begin to live positive. We change our lives by changing our actions, what goes on in our life daily. If you're a person who normally lays in bed in the morning and it's hard for you to get up, you need to begin to coach yourself into getting up early, working out, doing positive things that make you feel good. Because when you're speaking positive and you're feeling positive, that is a key to receiving positivity and doing positive things. It really and truly affects our entire life, our entire existence, and the lives that we touch by being positive, talking about positive things, and changing our actions into positive actions also. Because talk becomes action, you know, and action becomes talk. Because if you're doing something positive and you're getting up early and you're working out and you're eating healthy, all these things affect your entire body, your entire, your mind, your emotions. And if we don't understand all these things work together, they do. This is your whole person. And if you're speaking positive and you're acting positive, you will generate positive energy out towards the people out inside of in your life daily, and you really begin to feel real good about yourself. So it's important to have that positive self-talk, that positive attitude. And like you said, you know, if you have a positive attitude, everyone else has a positive attitude towards you also. You know, it's like if you come to, you know, you've been at work and you'll be there and you'll be happy, and someone will come in to work with an attitude, and it will affect the people in the room. you know, it really affects everybody because when someone walks in with a negative attitude, everyone else usually stops talking. It really changes the energy in the room. So if you want to be in a positive environment, you have to come in, even if you had a bad day or a bad morning, you know, before you step in the door of your job or your home, you know, think of something positive. Put a smile on your face and walk in and, you know, greet everyone happily. And then you'll discover that some of your worries go away with just that one positive thought on how you're stepping into a room and how you're going to affect that room. You're stepping into your home and how you're going to affect that home in a positive way. And it really can change your attitude for that moment of, you know, you already tired or whatever was going on with you. And you just made yourself say, you know, "Assalamu alaikum, how are you all today?" And then once other people greet you back with the same positive energy or sometimes even more, it really changes and really affects you in a good way.
You know, it's funny. Inshallah, Mutaki, are you still with us?
Yes, I am.
Okay, alhamdulillah.
Mutaki! You're right.
Folgers, Folgers, good to the last drop, right?
not wrong time to mention coffee.
Well, Maxwell
yeah.
helps, right?
Well,
but, you know,
actually, I grind my own coffee, but go on. That's another story. Keep going.
What I was saying, Mutaki, in the mirror, is that, you know, basically we are just one huge magnet. You know, that's what we are. You know, you attract to yourself what you put out there. Just like Amira said, you know, I hate to take it back to the old school, okay, but that used to be, you know, the group Earth, Wind, and Fire had a song years ago called Shining Star. And in that song, he talked exactly what we're talking about right now. You know, and there was actually a chorus in the song. For those of you who don't know, Earth, Wind, and Fire was a famous R&B band back in the 70s and even the early 80s or what have you. It's still pretty famous today. But they had a song called Shining Star, and there was a chorus in the song, you know, where the singer Maurice White said, you know, "You are a shining star no matter who you are, shining bright to see what you can truly be." And so what I got from that song was, you know, the earth, you know, every day, you know, at night, you know, the portion of the earth is in darkness. And as the earth rotates, the sun, you know, appears to make a dawning. So when the sun comes up every morning, it illuminates all the earth, your atmosphere, whatever. So if you look outside and it's dark, and then the sun comes up, the sun's light radiates and brings light to everything around it. And so he said that you are a shining star. You have to be the exact same way the sun is. When you come into a room or you come into the situation and it's a situation filled with darkness and apathy and malaise and sadness, you have to illuminate those people around you. You must be that sun in that solar system of apathy and darkness and malaise. You have to be that same shining star that he talked about. So just like Amira said, you come into a room, and it's like the energy is like, "Wow, who is that? Who is that lady? That's Amira Rahman, really? Who is she? She does this, she does that." And so people will pick up on that because we are transistor radios, and we all give off a vibe or energy, and the people of similar energies find each other. Birds of a feather flock together. So people of negativity tend to find out other people of negativity, and the people of positive vibes find out other people of positive vibes. And that is exactly true. I mean, there's no way I can say it any clearer than that. Brother Mutaki, your take.
Well, with people with negative vibes flocking together, there's another story from the time of Prophet Muhammad SAW, when he was sitting behind, it was still in Mecca, and he was sitting by the Kaaba reciting Quran, when as he was sitting there, one of the pagan Quraysh leaders, Abu Jahl, or one of the others, I think Ikrimah actually came by and sat there listening to him recite. And they liked it, even though they didn't like the man reciting it, they liked what he was reciting. And then while he was sitting there, he didn't notice, but it was at nighttime. Abu Jahl also came up and was listening to what they were saying, what he was reciting. And another one came up and he was listening to him. And they were all sitting there, not really, not knowing that their other two companions were sitting there. And all three of them were sitting there listening to the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam recite. And suddenly they, after a while, they got up and they started to leave. And then they see that everyone, they see who's around. They say, oh, well, what are you doing here? And this, and they're feeling kind of stupid and everything, because this is a guy that they've been persecuting for all these years, and now they come up and they listen to him recite, and they actually like what he's reciting. And this is just showing an example how three negative people were drawn together, and yet all three of them wound up rejecting the message, even after that, even after sitting there and listening to him recite, and at least two of them died in the Battle of Badr, and I think one of them died maybe later in the Battle of Uhud. But all of them were eventually killed, and all of them died in disbelief. And yet these three people who were from different tribes and really had nothing in common except for their one negative aspect of hating Islam, they all came together for that one thing, and they all wound up going out together as well.
SubhanAllah. Ladies and gentlemen, wow. you listen to the words of my brother from another mother, Mr. Mutaki Ismail, Islamic lecturer and author, and my voice of my sister, Ms. Amira Rahman, Lady of the Hour and Poet Extraordinaire, and yours truly, Bilal Stroud, motivational speaker, here on the Bilal Stroud Show, No Excuses Radio. If you have any questions, concerns, or comments, please feel free to dial in right now. We will work you into the show, alhamdulillah, broadcasting live from the Jewel of the South, Atlanta, Georgia, the ATL, here in the United States, the Bilal Stroud Show, No Excuses Radio, on the blowtorch of the Ummah of Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, American Muslim 360. We will take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're gonna set it off again. We give you food for thought today, brothers and sisters. If the truth hurts, you will be in pain. If the truth drives you crazy, you will be insane. Right here at the Bilal Stroud Show, No Excuses Radio. We'll be right back.
Muslim women on healing, sisterhood, and empowerment. An America Muslim 360 program established by Dr. Aisha Kareem, CEO of America Muslim 360. Dr. Kareem secured the female voice as part of her four decades of commitment to wellness of women, children, and families. Listen every Wednesday morning with Aisha and Honoring Women with the hosts Wasifa, Niamat, and Fatima, representing the Muslim woman voice on American Muslim 360.
Do you remember Mujaddid Waruthuddin Muhammad? Mosque cares. Believers wishing to support his mission of propagation and community assistance are asked to send their contributions made payable to Mosque Cares, Ministry of W. Dean Muhammad, P.O. Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. P.O. Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. Don't forget, Mujaddid Waruthuddin Muhammad and Mosque Cares. They appreciate your support, and so do American Muslim 360. Assalamu alaikum.
FitMuslimaSummit.com invites you to join us on our journey of health and fitness. Retreats exclusively for Muslim women with fitness education, nutritional information, and emotional wellness. From yoga, Zumba classes, and swimming to workshops on wellness and weight loss. No matter where your journey is destined to end, begin at FitMuslimaSummit.com.
You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
American Muslim 360 is... We will never quit. American Muslim 360, your number one Islamic Muslim radio station.
You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
Assalamu alaikum again. This is America Muslim 360, inshallah. Questions or comments, press 1 on your phone. I think we see Sister Debbie there. I'll let Brother Mutaki get that. And inshallah, we'll return shortly. Mutaki, it's yours.
Okay. Assalamu alaikum. We have a caller in the line, brother.
Yes, inshallah, bring her in right now. Why not?
Okay, inshallah. Inshallah. Caller, you on the air?
No. Hold on. Press the wrong button. Sister Debbie, you're on American Muslim 360.
I know. Can you hear me?
Yes, we got you now.
Oh, you got me. Okay. Wait a minute. I want to back up a bit because I have something to say, which is to add to that wonderful thought about do not think negative things about yourself. Do not think negative things that other people tell you about yourself, I want to comment on. Stop those voices in your head. Allah knows what you can do. He knows how much you can do and what you can do. Let's all just listen to Allah. Let's all just listen to Allah and let Him talk to us and not let other people feed us with negative information. That's it.
Thank you very much. That is a very good point because a lot of people do that. A lot of people listen to what other people say about them or tell them what they can or can't do. But Allah knows what we can and can't do. You know what you can or can't do. So strive for the best things and don't let those things affect you. Thank you for the day.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you.
Thank you, my sister. I really appreciate that comment. Alhamdulillah. Again, if words were food, you just gave us a huge, huge meal right there. Yes, that is very important. You know, I hearken back to, you know, there is a, I know a sister who wanted to become an attorney. And she was in college wanting to be an attorney. And she met her future husband while she was in school. And at the time, she was married to the brother. She's no longer married to him. But he told her, you can't be an attorney. You can't be a lawyer. You just can't do that. And to this day, she still desires to be an attorney. And I said, sister, why don't you do that? Go back to school. Do what you have to do. The only person that's stopping you is you. The only person that's holding you back is you. So she told me that her husband put that negative information into her mind, and she never succeeded in that goal. So when I met her, I said, sister, you need to do just that. What would have happened if her husband took the same stance that I took? What would have happened? What would have happened? I remember one day I was in a masjid here in Atlanta, and I made the following statement. I said, brothers, we should encourage our wives and our daughters to return to school to complete their education because we need a Muslim woman to be educated. We need to do that. Even if she doesn't want to go to college or whatever she may, if she doesn't want to go to school, at least encourage her to get some sort of training, whether it be in the trades or something, some sort of education, whether it be in Islam or some sort of secular education. And one brother told me, he said, he's like, man, I'm not doing that. I'm like, brother, what's wrong with your wife wanting to be a doctor, a physician? What's wrong with that? I'm not sending my wife over there to those non-Muslim schools. I said, brother, come on. Well, what do you want? If your wife gets sick, who do you want her to see? Do you want to see a non-Muslim man, a non-Muslim woman, or a Muslim man, or a Muslim woman? What do you want? You can't have it all. So what's wrong with your wife being a physician? This brother was so negative. I just couldn't believe it. And so, unfortunately, many of our brothers, you know, for whatever reason, either due to some sort of insecurities or whatever, they refuse to encourage their wives and their daughters, for example, to reach higher goals for themselves. They just refuse to do that. And unfortunately, some of the brothers do that because, again, they feel that the sister becomes educated or she becomes successful, that, you know, somehow, you know, she can't be controlled, so to speak, or, you know, she won't be a good wife. SubhanAllah. Look at Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her. This woman the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She was knowledgeable in history. She was knowledgeable in medicine. She was knowledgeable in genealogy. Some of the ulama say that one third of this deen comes through Aisha. One third of this deen comes through Aisha. May Allah be pleased with her. So we have to go about our day encouraging people to live their dreams and not think negatively. Now, here comes the question. How can we eliminate self-talk? Very simple. Very simple. You know, the mind works on, you know, the mind works on images, visualization, right? So here's what I suggest that you do. Before you go to bed at night or before, when you wake up in the morning, make flashcards. You know, get some index cards, flashcards, for example. And let's say, for example, you want to accumulate more wealth. You want to become wealthy, right? First thing you do is ask Allah for it. That's first and foremost. You depend on Allah, ask Allah for it. When you go to bed at night, you make a flashcard. On a flashcard, write something like, "A wealth comes easily."
Hold on. All right, let me just say this. Brother Mataki, let me get it here. Okay. Everybody,
okay.
Everybody just hold on for a quick second here. Bilal, just hold on here. We got a question.
Okay.
I've been waiting for a moment. Let's get this person in here.
Okay,
347, you're on American Muslim 360. State your name, where you calling from.
Hi, Assalamu alaikum. This is Sister Malika. I just wanted to call in and say that I appreciate the show and I appreciate the format of the show where Brother Bilal Strauss, you know, forms a question or makes a comment and then he requests comment from his co-host. And it's a beautiful format. I myself am enjoying it and I'm sure many others are. And, you know, the commentary is beautiful. They're working together. It's very encouraging and a wonderful example for, the youth in our community and what they are doing. And we're all enjoying it. And thank you again, Brother Thomas and your wife for providing this for many, many people. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu
alaikum. Oh, that's so sweet. Subhanallah. Allah, Jazakallah khair, my sister. May Allah reward you. We have another caller, Brother Thomas. Hello? Do we have another caller on the line?
We zapped you. We tasered you.
Hello?
Can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you. Do we have another caller on the line?
Yes, we have a caller, area code 678.
Okay, go ahead, caller. You live on the line. Go ahead, caller, 678.
That's Sister Amira, isn't it? Sister Amira?
Yeah, I was going to say, it must be
okay.
Me because I'm not even...
The next call. Go to the next call, Brother Mutaki.
Oh, it's me again.
301.
Yes. Hi, it's me again. I want to agree with the sister. This format's interesting, but I think it also, listening to her and listening to you all, makes me really think, you know, we're put on this earth to help each other. We're put on this earth to support each other, to help each other, not to tear each other down. And that's what you all are doing. And alhamdulillah, thank you.
Thank you, my sister. Alhamdulillah. May Allah, I'm really feeling all this positive vibration this morning, Amira. What's going on here? Alhamdulillah. So we're putting our positivity, and inshallah, positivity is coming back. Alhamdulillah.
Inshallah.
Now, alhamdulillah, may Allah reward all of you for all your positive comments. Thank you so much. And thank you for listening to the Bilal Stroud Show, No Excuses Radio. You're listening to the voice of my sister, Miss Amira Rahman, poet extraordinaire, lady of the hour. What was that, brother?
Oh, was that Mataki?
Mataki? Okay, Mataki.
You got to apologize. We're having a little difficulty, and I'm trying to, anyway, I'm sorry, Mataki, that was my fault on that one. But 609, you're on American Muslim 360. State your name, where you calling from.
As-salamu alaykum, this is Sister Ada. It's just beautiful.
Wa alaykum as-salam,
sister. Wa alaykum as-salam.
it's just beautiful to hear youth on the phone, period. And Brother Strauss, Sister Mir, and Brother Mataki, keep up the good work. You're like a ray of light in the morning. When you hear Brother Strauss, it's like the sun booming through the clouds. Sister Amir, you're like a star that shines at night. And then Brother Mustafi, I think I'm saying his name right, he's like the calm of the night. He comes in and he's quiet and he gives you soothing for your life. You're doing a beautiful job, sisters and brothers. Continue the work. As-salamu alaykum.
Amira, are you sure you didn't put these people up to do a plug on the show? Are you sure you didn't put them up to this?
No.
How do they love brothers?
See, that's what we're talking about, positive energy. Everyone's feeding off each other's positive energy, bringing something positive to the table. And that's a good thing. It's a beautiful thing, mashallah. And we need it. It's much needed in our community. It is much needed in our ummah. It's much needed in our homes. So,
Alhamdulillah. Make it happen. And you know, it's like I said before, that's what I was saying about the flashcards, okay? You, like I said, for example, let's say your goal is to become financially, you know, empowered. You want to become more wealthy. So what you do is you make these flashcards. And before you go to bed and when you wake up, you know, first, like I said, first and foremost, you call upon Allah and ask Allah for whatever you want. Then, number two, you must put into practice what you want. Put your plan in action to become financially independent. And so what you do, you make these cards, and on the card it may say something like, money comes to me easily by Allah's grace, or I am responsible with my money, or I invest properly. And just look at these cards before you go to bed. And when you wake up, you look at them again when you wake up. And what you're doing, you're actually programming your brain, which is your computer. You're reprogramming your brain. And what you think about in your mind, what you think about mostly in your mind will come to fruition through the limbs. You see what I'm saying? So in other words, show me what a person thinks about on a regular, consistent basis, and I will tell you what that person's life is. Let me say that again. Tell me what a person thinks about on a regular, consistent basis, and I will tell you the quality of that person's life. This is very, very serious. The brain is nothing to be played with. Brother Mutaki, your take.
Well, that is exactly true, even though I missed a little bit of it. But it is true that what we put into our mind actually feeds into what comes out of it. For instance, we know the children of Israel, after they escaped from Pharaoh and after they escaped from Pharaoh and they were running away and they see Pharaoh and his horses and his men coming up behind them, and they get to the edge of the sea, and they see the soldiers behind them, the sea in front of them. The first, because they've been in slavery for so long, the first thing that comes to them is a defeatist mentality. They're looking at Moses, at Prophet Musa, alayhi salam, and they're saying to him, well, look what you did to us now. What a fine job you did. What some kind of messenger you are. you bring us from slavery, and now we're about to either drown in the sea or get chopped to bits by Pharaoh.
Very, very true.
And Musa alayhi salam, he knew what was going on. He knew he had Allah on his side, but these people, they didn't have the faith yet, which is why that first generation didn't make it through. And so they had too much negativity and too many years of beat down and persecution and enslavement for that first generation to really make it through. And lo and behold, after they are saved from the sea, and after seeing all of the miracles and everything from Allah, many of them still wind up worshiping the calf and doing all sorts of wrong things. And so their minds just weren't ready. They had to have another generation that had been raised in freedom before they could establish the kingdom of Jerusalem.
Oh my God.
Shoemaker.
I really don't know if y'all caught what he said. I don't know if you really caught what the brother just told you. He gave you a clear example of what the power of negative self-talk can do to you. It caused the children of Israel to wander the wilderness. It caused them to worship the golden calf. It caused them to be disrespectful and Allah be angry with them because of disobedience. Ya Allah. Ya Allah. And like I said, Allah brought them through all those tests and trials, the frog, the blood, all the different plagues in Egypt, and they still had negative self-talk, brothers and sisters, and look what happened. Look what happened. After all of that, they still were disobedient to Allah, and Allah became angry with them. Don't you see the power of negative self-talk, the power of having negative thoughts and vocabulary in your life? Isn't it time that we eliminate those things from our lives? SubhanAllah. Mm-hmm. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to the words of Miss Amira Rahman, poet extraordinaire, lady of the hour, and my brother from another mother, all the way from Brooklyn, New York, Mr. Mutaki Ismail, Islamic lecturer and author, and yours truly, Brother Bilal Stroud, motivational speaker here on the Bilal Stroud Show, No Excuses Radio, broadcasting live from the Jewel of the South, the ATL. You better recognize is now a beautiful alhamdulillah, blue skies. It's about 84 degrees right here in Atlanta, Georgia. We'll take a quick commercial break. We come back with the closing segment of today's show right here on the blowtorch of the Ummah of Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, American Muslim 360. Blowing up, taking over airwaves. We are now shutting it down right here on the Bilal Stroud Show. No Excuses Radio. We'll be right back.
Greetings. This is Joanne from the Versatile Online Outerwear Store, yourchoiceofjackets.com. I invite you to visit our site to check out our growing selection of outerwear of all sizes, colors, and styles. We also offer coupons, free gifts, and low shipping. The better place to go online for outerwear, yourchoiceofjackets.com.
Perfect for schools, conferences, and fundraising events. Visit livinghistoryheritage.com. Omar Ibn Said and Ibrahim Abdul-Rahman come to you live and perform their true stories. One a scholar, the other a prince, graduates of the great University of Timbuktu, African Muslims captured, sold into slavery, and eventual freedom in the United States. Enjoy and appreciate true unique stories of Timbuktu's African-American Muslim heroes. Visit livinghistoryheritage.com or call 704-777-3611 today. That's livinghistoryheritage.com or 704-777-3611. Thank you.
Oh, hey, Assalamu alaikum, sis. How are you?
Wa alaikum salam. Alhamdulillah, I'm good.
Good. And how's your husband?
Alhamdulillah, he's doing well. How are you?
I'm doing good, sis. I'm just working two jobs right now trying to save up some money so I can go study at one of these Islamic universities.
MashaAllah. Well, it's interesting you say that. My husband and I just started the Islamic Online University.
What's that about?
Well, the Islamic Online University was developed by Dr. Bilal Phillips. It's completely online. It's intensive. He offers undergraduate and graduate courses of Islamic studies, and it's completely tuition-free.
Whoa, you said tuition-free?
Tuition-free.
In 2007, Islamic Online University began offering diploma courses. In 2010, the Islamic Online University launched the world's first tuition-free online Bachelor of Arts in Islamic Studies. This path-breaking initiative utilizes the worldwide presence of the Internet and advanced open-source online learning technology to bring low-cost, university-level Islamic education within reach of anyone on the planet who has access to a computer. Please do not waste this opportunity. Go to www.islamiconlineuniversity.com, or you may also contact the registrar's office at 974-448-6858. 974-448-6858.
All right, you're back on American Muslim 360 with the Bilal Stroud Show.
Alhamdulillah.
Bilal, you got it.
brothers and sisters, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Again, as my brother stated, you welcome back to the Bilal Stroud Show, No Excuses Radio. We're live on the line with Miss Amira Rahman, Lady of the Hour and Poet Extraordinaire, and my brother Mutaki Ismail, Islamic lecturer and author, alhamdulillah, and yours truly, Bilal Stroud, motivational speaker here on the Bilal Stroud Show, No Excuses Radio, on the blowtorch of the Ummah of Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, American Muslim 360. Amira, in the closing segments of today's show, what would you like to leave the listeners with today, my sister?
I would like to leave them with thoughts of how to, you know, be positive and to live positive. I remember my mother used to always tell me to, you know, stand up with your back straight. Mind how you dress. Because if you dress and your posture is in a positive manner, people will take you seriously. You can feel good about yourself. So it's about listening to the positive things, reading positive things, surrounding yourself with positive things so that you are a more positive person. And it's how you look and how you act is how people see you. And as important for yourself, you know, and it's also how you see yourself. Because if you look good that day and your back is straight and you're ready to step out into the world for success, inshallah, you find success. So be positive, strive for success, and make it happen.
I'm to the left of my sister. Brother Mutaki Ismail, my brother. Come on with it, bro. Come on. Come on.
Well, there's a terminology. There's a concept that people use in statistics called GIGO, G-I-G-O, garbage in, garbage out. And basically, if you put garbage into something, we're going to get garbage out. But if you put good things into it, you get something good out, inshallah. So for people who have that big project in mind or that big dream or that big goal, if you want to do this thing or whatever good you have in mind, most importantly, of course, put your trust in Allah. And that entails, you know, making dua and making sure that you are on the right side of Allah, that you are actually doing the right thing in other aspects of your life, and make it istikhara, putting your trust in Allah, and going forward and knowing that, you know, you can do it, especially if it's something good and if it's something to benefit others. And you can also be positive in wanting to do bad. You know, you can be like, I'm going to, you know, I'm going to get this money one way or the other, and, you know, have a total negative way of going about doing it. But, you know, if you do things for Allah, wanting the best thing for all those involved, inshallah, put our trust in Allah, there's almost nothing that can stop us except for ourselves.
Very true.
Alhamdulillah. Again, just like I said before, there's no one holding you back but you. The only person that's stopping you is you. Ladies and gentlemen, you now have been given a power-packed hour of the Bilal Stroud Show, No Excuses Radio. I want all of you to return, inshallah ta'ala, next Friday to hear another power-packed show about motivation, empowerment, and stimulation. I encourage all of you to tell your friends, your family members, everybody in the masjid, to tune into the Bilal Stroud Show, No Excuses Radio. And as I always say in my conclusion, and Amira, she can roll the eyes if she wants to. I really don't care. Either you bob it. either you do or you don't. Either you will or you won't. You can either barbecue or mildew. The choice is totally up to you.
Yes.
This is Bilal Stroud Show. This is Bilal Stroud signing off. Motivational speaker, the Bilal Stroud Show, No Excuses Radio, here in the blowtorch of the Ummah of Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, AmericanMuslim360.com. We are now giving airways back to the other brothers and sisters. May Allah reward all of you. May Allah bless you. May Allah accept your fast. May He give you a good Jumu'ah. May Allah make things easy for you, Brother Thomas. You have now got it, brother. Let's go.
You can't touch this. Touch this.
American Muslim 360 is We will never quit. America Muslim 360, your number one Islamic Muslim radio station.
You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
Assalamu alaikum, Ramadan Mubarak again to everyone here on American Muslim 360. You just finished listening to the Bilal Strauss Show here on American Muslim 360, No Excuses Radio. Always appreciate the brother and sister Amira, brother Mutaki. Glad to have him back on air and inshallah running the boards. All the time, whenever you guys sign on, bring your operator with you. Bring your operator with you. Okay, this is American Muslim 360. This is getting into our last hour. We were talking about goals in the first hour. I think I'm probably going to continue with that here today. And looking at the overall, and maybe even borrowing from Bilal them, you know, overcoming negative self-talk. It's good if you have goals for yourself. No matter what other people tell you, you need to be able to say to yourself, I got a direction. I got a purpose. I know who I am. Goals. You need to figure out and divide, I guess, sort of the line. What is action and what is activity? A lot of us are involved in activity. We think we're taking action, but it's really just activity. We're just rearranging the chairs on the Titanic, as they say. It's going to sink, but we're busying ourselves by rearranging the chairs. Goals are about action. What are we going to do? What are we going to accomplish? What are we going to achieve? And this is what we want to bring to our attention and begin to think more about in this month of Ramadan. Not just the activity of goal setting. A lot of us involved ourselves in the activity of goal setting, i.e. we may think through, we say, well, I want to do this, I want to do that. And, you know, we might even write down some things we want to do. We've just engaged in the activity. But are we going to put our plan or thoughts to action? What are we going to do about the energy we just spent? And this is the next step for goals, is taking action. Decide for yourself, and that's why I guess where we left off at is, what is the passion? If you don't have a passion for a thing, you may not take action on it. You may talk about it all day long, such as the example Bilal gave. Lady says she wants to be a lawyer. Well, her husband said blah, blah, blah. But does she really honestly have a passion for being a lawyer? Her passion probably could have pushed her past whatever the husband thought, whatever anybody thought. Who gives a damn what you think? This is something that I want to do. And I'm going to find a way around you, through you, or under you, or over you. This is going to happen. So, your passion for a thing, your honest desire to achieve the goals, is important to the ingredients of goal setting. We don't want a bunch of things written on a piece of paper that we have no passion about. We don't really have any desire about. So choose those things, which was the other question was, is what are your values? Choose the thing that you place value in. How do we value ourselves in the community, the outer community in this case? But how do we see ourselves collectively in the Muslim community? What values do you share with this group of people? and then turn those values into passion and goals. Do we honestly have a passion for goodness, let's say, for helping people, seeing others achieve? Or is that something we just talk about at the Master Year? It makes us feel good to say it, but we do nothing about it. So maybe we don't value the assisting of others, being a servant of Allah. It may not really be a value to us. We don't value serving Allah. So therefore, the things we talk about are just really activities. They take no precedence in our life. We have to decide, what does service mean to us as a person and as a community, and what value do we place in it? Is it something that defines us? Do we use this value of service to bring purpose to our lives? Is it sort of a big neon sign on the side of the masjid to say, we are servants of Allah? Not in words, but in deeds. And you can see us in the community on all levels, whether it's politics, whether it's feeding the hungry, whether it's marching against or standing up against crime, other, quote, things that go on in your community. Do you lend your voice to those things that you place value in? Or are we just talkers? So goals are an action plan. They're about measuring myself against myself and challenging myself to be a better self tomorrow or in the future. Allah says in the Quran, to each I have turned a goal. So what is that? Does that have meaning to us? So what goal have you turned yourself to, individually and collectively? We can do more than what we say we can do and more than what we have done. Most of us have reached ran into that brick wall, so to speak, and we no longer have any desire to go through it, go under it, go around it, or go over it. So we have stagnation in the community. Like I say, whether it's with these big national events, regional events, there's a lot of stagnation. Well, we've been doing this for 20 years. Yeah, but you've been doing the same thing for 20 years. It hasn't changed. It hasn't improved. The community isn't any better. You're not any better. So why would you do the same thing for the next 20 years? Why not sit down and strategically think about all that you do, all that you say you're about? And again, most of us, we appreciate change and improvement. I was having a talk with my grandson yesterday, and I was telling him about, you know, he asked me about doing something extra. He was doing some work in the yard. And he said, well, Papa, that's something extra. That's not my job. I said, well, it may not be your job, but it's how you improve up on your job. I use the example for him, your cell phone. How many times have you changed cell phones because they change or added a new service or new something to a phone. See, we like it when other people improve, when they set goals, meet their goals, and deliver to us a new product. But we seem to have not much appreciation for doing the same thing for ourselves within our own community. We accept the same thing over and over again, whether it's 20, 30 years. We just say, well, that's what it is. I'll go to support them. But why? You wouldn't support your local restaurant if they gave you one bad meal almost. You'd almost say, look, I'm not going back to that place no more. You vote with your feet. You vote with your money. Until they improve it, get new management, do something to show you that they care about you as the customer, that they have values that they uphold in their food, you most likely wouldn't go. You may tell other people not to go. But we treat our own selves worse than we treat others. We continue to go. We continue to say, well, you know, just go there to support them. You know, might as well at least support them, right? You wouldn't support your local restaurant. So why support them? This is American Muslim 360, inshallah. I'm going to need area code 618, area code 347, and 609. All press 1 on your phone. Take yourself out. I think you're hanging there from the Bilal Strauss Show. And then we can clear the boards and determine whether you honestly have a question for this one here. Area code 347, press 1 on your phone. Area code 618, press 1 on your phone and take yourself out of the queue. And then, inshallah, we can determine. Anyone having a question or comment, and press 1 on your phone, then we can bring you in on this particular conversation that we're having right now. And that is Sister Debbie.
Actually, I have something to say, Sister Mahasin, and I'm sorry to use American Muslim 360, but something's wrong with her phone. You cannot get through to her, and I just want to make sure she's okay.
Well, let me tell you this. She's okay, but she lost that phone, and you have to get a new phone number for her. And I don't know whether I don't see her online right now, presently on this morning. You got that?
Yeah, I got that. Thank you so much.
No problem.
Okay, bye.
No problem. All right. So that everybody is aware of that. So again, goal setting. Use it to improve upon what you're already doing. Come up with what they may call a strategic plan to bring about a new level of awareness or functionality. How do you make this thing better? How do you make the masjid better? How do you increase the experience? How do you make the school better? How do you deliver a better service? And then go about doing so. Let me check here. I'm not sure. 347, you have a question or comment?
I'm Malikam. This is Sister Malika, Jamaica, New York. I think that what's happening, what we're experiencing, is things that are happening. Imam W.D. Muhammad explained to us about the growth of a plant. And I think what has happened is that a lot of work is being done underground, and a lot of things, and when I say underground, I simply mean it's not visible to many people as yet in terms of things that they, you know, they're looking for on a certain level. But the inner workings, the activities and the those things that make a structure, that improve a structure, I think many things are going through that type of improvement. And as we know, you know, to put in electrical when you're building a building or even renovating, to do electrical and plumbing and all of that, it's very time consuming. And when you're doing things that are very important, it may not appear as if, you know, things are humming or whatever, but they are being done. So I think it's a matter of, you know, as they say, each one work in your places. And I think, I believe, in fact, I know that's happening in different places across the country. And perhaps the first shoot of the new growth is not as apparent to many people, but I honestly believe that the structural work is being done.
Wa alaikum as-salam. And probably no doubt. Probably no doubt. Let me take Sister Ada. Sister Ada, do you have a question or comment?
Yes, I agree with the sister. I agree with the sister wholeheartedly. And I say that because even in my own experience right now, I am a listener to Radio 360. However, it is so kind of hard sometimes to imagine that there are so many people who are still totally unaware of not only your particular aspect of what you're doing, Brother Thomas,
mm-hmm.
but so many other aspects. I guess I'm a very busybody, as people would call me. Mm-hmm. However, I try to make it my business to keep abreast, even though financially sometimes it's a big struggle for me. But I try my best to keep abreast of not only what is going on within the Muslim community, but I try to make it my business to know what is going on the national and international aspect of what's going on in the world. Mm. And I think, as the sister said, this a lot going on within our community, but since we don't have the different, lack of the correct word right now, technology, instruments, material gain, whatever, to really see it visibly, then many of us are sort of sitting trying to figure out what is going on.
Mm-hmm.
But if they were to connect with the different aspects of the technological aspects of life, and believe me, it's not easy, especially if you're older, then you will be able to see things in a much wider scope, and therefore you will see growth that sometimes is astounding. But I think we need to find a way to try to reach as many people, whichever way you can find, individually, to let people know that they need to connect as much as possible, as much as they financially can do it, or any other way, to
mm-hmm.
others outside. And that way you won't feel so alone. You won't feel like there's nothing being accomplished, because there's much being accomplished, but you just have to get on the ball. It's up to you, as you say, Brother Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
Don't leave
it
up
to
somebody else. You
yeah.
get on the ball. You
yeah.
look. You work. Because nobody can give it to you. You have to do it yourself.
Very true. Very
That's
true.
All I have to say.
Assalamu alaikum. I do want to make comment on both of those, but I'm going to take a short break and we'll be right back.
You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
American Muslim 360 is We will never quit. American Muslim 360, your number one Islamic Muslim radio station.
You can't touch this.
There are over 100 major Muslim and community-oriented radio stations and other media channels, and American Muslim 360 ranks among the top and have been mentioned as a major influencer in the community of Islam. We want to thank you, the listeners, for giving us the distinct honor of being listed in the Dinar Standard 2011 American Muslim Media Report.
All right. This is America Muslim 360. Inshallah. What I want to do is, and I say make comment on what both sisters just presented. And when we're talking about goals in particularly, because, and I'm going to use the, right now I'm going to use Apple as an example. Apple computer, many people are doing this, but they're working behind the scenes. I don't know what their next new product is. I don't know how they're going to improve up on their product. But here's one thing I do know, is that every year, and they know this, every year they have whatever they call it, but let's call it a technological convention. Thousands of people flock to that convention. Why do they come? Because they know one thing, that they are going to produce something that they've been working on. Okay? Now, here's my point, and here's my, and then we're going to talk a little bit about goals. Okay. You cannot work forever underground. You have to put in a structure. You have to be working, I agree. But at some point in time, you must step forward and say, this is the progress we've made to this point. And then give that information to the people. Let them use that, or the technology, the product, the service. Let them know, I'm going back. And 1 year from now, I'm going to produce something different or better or improve upon that. This is what makes, let's say right now I'm sticking with Apple. This is one of the things that makes Apple so great. You know, in the course of 1 year, 12 months, the same 12 months you've been doing whatever you've been doing, you know that, no longer Steve Jobs, but you know Steve Jobs is going to step on that stage and he's going to amaze you. And his team is going to amaze you. He don't give them 2 years, 6 years, 4 years. Every year when I step on that stage, people, I expect you to have delivered a product or improved upon something so that these people will stay with us. They will buy what we want, what we sell. We will continue to be, and as they are now, the richest company in the entire world. They have more money, cash money, than the United States of America. That's goal setting. Now, let's talk about goals for a moment. And why is Apple so successful? We have a national convention every year. Ask yourself, no, and I'm not pointing finger, I'm not trying to down anybody, but ask yourself, what gets presented at that convention that really advances us? The reason we don't have is because we don't understand goals. Goals have to be specific. They have to be measurable. They have to be attainable. They have to be realistic and timely. You cannot say I'm working on something for 10 years and you still ain't produced nothing. There's no goals in there. You're working, I admit, you're working. But this, you may be involved in activity for 10 years and not action taking. And this is the difference. This is the tipping point between action and activity. Or again, I gotta put a structure in place. I agree. You need to have a structure in place. You need to be developing that information. You need to write that report. You need to produce the product or the service or give us a solution or a recommendation. But how long should I wait for you? How long should the community wait? After a while, I know people, groups, that say they've been working on curriculum. And they've been working on curriculum for over 10 years. I have yet to see curriculum produced, manufactured, distributed in this community at all. So are they really, do they really have a goal? No. They're involved in activity. I know that. They may not know that, but I know that. So what level of interest do I give to them or show them? Zero to none. Why? You haven't produced anything. Okay? We have a workshop called No Excuses, No More Excuses. Okay? We have excuses, and we make excuses for our people. Well, you know, they're just doing this. Oh, they've been over here. Oh, they. No, I'm not going to make an excuse for you. You wouldn't survive in the real world. Steve Jobs makes it happen. That's what makes Apple so great. Not only do that, they create the iPod, the iPhone, iTunes. They branded themselves, and nobody expects anything less, even though Steve Jobs is dead. Nobody expects anything less from Apple. Mojaddad Waruddin Muhammad is dead. But again, what do we expect? Our expectations are low. I'm not jumping on beating up anybody, but there's a certain amount of a reality check that we need to have, that we need to begin to have with our own selves. We have to have a reality conversation with ourselves. So let me very quickly in these last, okay, first of all, a Pacific Gold has a much greater chance of happening than something that is general. So how do we make it that? Okay? In other words, who is going to be involved in this? We need to figure out who are the people that honestly need to be at the table. Not because you have a namesake, not because you know Imam Waruddin Muhammad or you know this person and you know that. No, that's not how we bring people to the table. We decide who is essential to this project and what do we want to accomplish. What is it that we honestly going to accomplish, i.e. curriculum? That's what we're going to accomplish. We're going to accomplish K through 12th grade curriculum. Okay? Now let's identify where we're going to go to work. It could be internet. We all don't have to move into one location. We all can work interactively, but we need to decide. We're going to do webinars, when those webinars are going to be, blah, 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 blah. Establish a time frame. When are we going to meet? How we're going to meet? Again, when is this thing going to take shape? We can't all keep talking and presenting and no. Otherwise, you're not valuable to the team. If you cannot come every month with a certain amount of work done, then maybe we need to put you off the team. Identify the requirements and the constraints. In other words, what does it take to create curriculum? Maybe there's a body of research that needs to be done. Maybe there's whatever. Maybe there's subcommittees, ad hoc committees that you will end up developing. What is the constraints? We're only dealing with K through 12th grade. We're not going to deal with anything beyond that. We're not going to deal with preschool. We're going to work in this constraint, this framework. And then, why are we doing this work? Why is this important? It's important because we have struggling schools, or we have schools with maybe not a good Islamic curriculum. Whatever the benefits, the accomplishment, what is that? Okay? So now when we can answer the who, what, where, and why, and which questions, now we're shaping, fashioning the project, the goal. What are we going to do here? Then it has to be measurable. Meaning, again, I have to be able to determine, and anybody else looking in, they have to be able to say what was accomplished. In other words, using money. If I have $100 today, and my goal is $200, if tomorrow, first of all, that's measurable, I have $100, I need $200, I can measure whether I accomplish that or not. And if I get $10 tomorrow, I'm just that little bit closer. Okay? We can measure our own progress. If it's not measurable, again, is it really a goal? You can't say, I mean, at some point in time, you have to be able to say, we're going to produce K through 3 curriculum. The rest of it will follow later. Obtainable. Is an obtainable goal to create curriculum? Yes, it is. It's obtainable. Other people have done it. The research is out there. The information is there. We know this is obtainable. We can do this. We can accomplish it. Is it realistic? Yes, it's realistic. You know, we'll have to say much more about that. Okay. Timely. This is where we truly fall apart at. I have to set time frames up on myself to say, again, we're starting today, but in 3 years, we're going to produce K through 3 curriculum. It's going to be done, completed, presentable to the public for their review and hopefully for their implementation. Then we will work on any improvements, anything to come up on that. There will be a team dedicated to that. But the other team is still working on, now we're going to produce 4 through 6th grade in the next 2 years or year, whatever it is. We have to be able to timely measure the product, the service. If you can't do those things, all the things we just stated, there is no goal here. This is activity. So, yes, I could be involved in infrastructure for 10 years. But was it necessary? I mean, I can, you know, it's kind of like wizardry, I guess, you know. I can produce puffin smoke and mirrors and rabbits, but hey, people, we didn't set out to produce smoke, mirrors, and rabbits. We set out to say we're going to do a something, and therefore then get all of that so that it's there, it's visible for people. So I agree with you, but I also say, let's stop making excuses for people who are only trying to sell us snake oil. They're not creating curriculum. They have no true intent to create curriculum. I definitely don't know how to go about doing it. They don't understand these small things we're talking about right now. Just obviously setting the goal. Okay? Any strategic plan for making this happen? There's a myriad of things we could talk about that goes into these things, relate to these things. But, yes, work is being done. I agree. And I think there's a lot of people out there working. We have to decide. They need to decide. Are they involved in activity? Or are they actually involved in action? Just because I pull off a convention, that may have been, you know, we decided we're going to have a convention, and now the convention took place. We gave it a date, a time, it happened. I achieved a goal, no doubt. But what was the goal for the convention itself, for the attendees? What are those goals? Is it just to get 300,000-500,000 people to come and we make a profit? Is that the goal? It could be the goal. But I'm trying to say, why don't you begin to think about how do people benefit? Build value into the event itself that I can walk away with, i.e., and maybe continue to work on. And there's some connection between me and you that we're going to report on next year. So we can say, remember last year, we only had $100? Well, I'm proud to report to you this year, we have set a goal of reaching $200, and we raised $2,000. That's what we have to be about. We have to show ourselves first. Maybe going back to Bilal conversation, negative self-talk. Maybe we don't have enough positive self-talk to propel ourselves into our own, let's say, destiny. Erica 347, you're on America Muslim 360. State your name, where are you calling from?
Hi, Assalamu Alaikum. This is Sister Malika again. I am certainly thinking about what you're saying, Brother Salam, and I also would like to say that the growth and development that takes place is not perhaps apparent because to some people because we're looking for some traditional things. Well, I would say some traditional, only traditional things. There were many things that you said in the latter part of your conversation that I see as very valuable, you know, in terms of critiquing the situation and things for people that are planning and are participating to consider. However, I know from personal experience that from many of the programs, there is a significant amount of networking that takes place, and it does produce fruit. It does bear fruit in the future. Many of the things that we are seeing now, many of the organizations that have formed and have set goals, many of them have started at these conventions in terms of just people talking, and then they develop from there. I think that what you're saying is helpful in that it's, you know, self-evaluation and self-criticism is something that we need so that we're not just, you know, oh, everything is excellent and we don't need to improve anything. But to say that I don't see or where is the product or what have you, because the Apple example and what you're saying is certainly a valid example. I just don't know if that type of thing applies to the social organization and the social structures that we're in the process of constructing. So, because, you know, in other words, the educational facilities that are developing, we see that across the country. I don't think come as a unified thing or all at once. You know, it's a part of a large orchestra and different instruments, you know, when they're scheduled to come in. But I mean, what much of the critique that you have made, I can see that it's valid. It's just that that which you're using to compare it, I don't know if the structures and the goals are the same and if that's really the best entity to compare. But certainly, I deny that there are certain critiques that you made that are definitely, definitely good and saying, food for thought, most certainly. And inshallah, action in the near future. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. But let me maybe I'm sort of asking you, but whether you want to answer or not is not important exactly, because it's somewhat rhetorical to some degree. But here's the point, is this. It's sort of like which came first, the chicken or the egg. We think that the business model came first, but the social model came first. The business model grew out of the social model. Now it has taken over or convinced us that somehow socially we can't do what we used to do. The business model, and we had Brother Howard Rashid, who is a member of this community, written an excellent book, and I was hoping I'd apparently moved it someplace, The Seven Keys to Strategic Thinking, or something of that nature. Now, he presents the business model, but towards the end, he also applies it very little to a social model. But I don't hear conversation going on much anymore, because it's probably just old conversation now, because we've done it so much now that people don't even think about it anymore. But they used to have a term called transfer, I think it's called transfer technology, and meaning this, that I'm using something over here for a very specific thing or job, but did I ever think about this thing can be transferred to something else and be used just as efficient as I'm using it over here? Transfer technology or transfer thinking or transforming our own thinking is vital to our future. We are not expanding our minds, our hearts enough to take in the breadth of things that are available to us, particularly for us in America. Let's go back to the Steve Jobs, the computer thing. And let's erase Apple out of it, but let's just take that as a model. What is in that we could use for ourselves? First of all, they have a convention, we have a convention. We have an annual convention, they have an annual convention. Okay? Now, if we begin to rethink convention, like Steve Jobs thinks about his convention. This convention is not about people coming. They come and have fun. They see all the new things. They touch the gadgets. They have fun. Don't get me wrong. But this is a learning experience, and it would be a total disappointment if I did not produce a new product or a new service or improved upon something. This whole thing would be a total disappointment. So for us, maybe we have to ask ourselves the question, what is it that we can, again, this is a defining moment for Apple. This is not just about a product. Apple is saying, this is who we are as a company. We value progress, change, improvement. We value being the leader. And we will do all things possible to be the leader. Now, do we value? What do we value? I mean, let's just keep it on a religious level, even if it's just on a religious level. Do we produce? Can we show that the Arabic, the Quranic understanding, or the reading in this community has gone from 20% to 50%? We can't even show that. Can we even show that the majority of us has such a grasp of the language of what of the Deen Muhammad that we all can say truly we are students? Imam set goals, particularly for the imams, studying Islamic history, studying this, studying that, doing this, doing that. Did we ever figure out how to determine? He said 80% of the imams don't know, or something, whatever. I'm not trying to quote him. But the point is, do we ever get a plan of action of how to get these 80% of imams up to par to please our leader? No, we did not. The imams didn't even do that among themselves. They couldn't even collectively come together and set a goal for themselves that 80%, the 20% who know, will educate the 80%, and each year we will report the progress, we will display the progress before the community and our leader and make him proud of us. We couldn't even do that. We all just resigned. Oh, well, he resigned. I'm out of here too. That's not leadership. It's not nothing. It's nothing. Okay? Forgive me for getting a little passionate about this stuff, but this is stuff I've done for years. And you wonder, how do we go to work every day, do this on a job, and come home and suck our thumb all afternoon? It just boggles my mind. How many of us are involved in goal setting, accomplishing things? The jobs say produce so many widgets, we're going to produce so many widgets. They say see so many clients, we're going to see so many clients. They tell us to drive so many miles, we're going to drive so many miles. But when we get home, we suck our thumb all night. Oh, well, I don't know what to do. I don't have no goals. No, the man just told you drive 100 miles, you drove 100 miles. That was his goal for you today. His goal for you today was to see 10 clients. What did you do? You saw 10 clients. You tried to see 12 to impress him. But now you can't even impress your own self. Now I'm with you, but I'm not in support of it, because I know without a doubt. In fact, I give you my own life. If we can't do better, you can slit my throat. I will lay down and let you slit my throat. Say, Tom, we can't do better. You betted your life on us. We didn't come through for you. Slit my throat. Hey, go ahead, do so. Because what's worth living? Why are we here? Why does AM360 exist? If we can't get you to do better, we can turn out the lights and go home. There's no need for AM360. There's no need for it. Sister Mahasan, I apologize. Go right ahead.
Oh, mashallah. Mashallah. Subhanallah. You know, we really have to remember and be careful, like we're talking about on this program, negative self-talk, and maybe even a bit of negative group talk. Surely, you know, as the phrase goes in the Quran, which of the favors of your Lord will you deny? And I attest to and bear witness to the many wonderful concepts that have been developed and the actual processes and what we would call institutions, infrastructures that have evolved out of a practical approach to establishing and meeting the needs of this community. We can indeed point to them all around the country and all around the world. The thing that I suggest, which is where every big picture develops, is from the small pixels that are part of making up that picture.
Yeah.
And that is that we focus, number one, on self, like Blau Stroud was saying this morning in his wonderful program. If we create the building blocks of the individual and for the individual's progress, and we progress that to the larger family progress and progress that to then the community aspect of development, make those applications, get those benefits, and we progress that to the neighborhood and the larger society, you know, as development naturally runs. talking about things that true have occurred in the past, were stumbling blocks, if you could call them that, and have taught us something about how to progress in the future, how to do things differently. So I encourage a balanced view, a more balanced. The glass is not totally half empty. It's not empty at all. And we need a wealth of encouragement, example setting, as you say, definitive plans, structures about how to move forward. I want to really commend the efforts of the Community Life Forward group for being a part of that next generation. We talked about on the Bilal Stroud show how, you know, we need to pass the baton. This is a race. This life is a race. And everyone has a leg of the race that they were created to run.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but knowing when you get to your destiny and it's time to pass the baton is very critical for achieving the goal at the end of the race and winning. So, you know, just a few words. I'm encouraging that. And to ever look on the bright side and the beneficial side of what has been achieved. And the one thing that was very motivating to me, and then I'm done, is when Imam Muhammad, early in his mission, wanted to give us a perspective on the distance that we had run. And I'd never heard it put like this. He said, in the time of the leadership of his father, up until his time, we had actually witnessed and experienced 500 years of anthropological progress that occurred in just that short 50 years. If you compared it on the world scale of progress, it would amount to approximately 500 years of human progress. That's an exponential growth, an exponential transformation. And we continue to do that because that's the plan of Allah. Allah's plan is to push the human being to his borders of excellence and beyond, and to take the potential that he created in the human being and to make it a sign and a lesson for any who are interested in knowing, you know, what the possibilities are. So we need to focus on that. We need to be concrete, yes, in our goals and concrete in our planning strategically and work together in doing that. And there are many examples around this country where that process has been perfected and the results are there. So I just want to encourage you and all of the listeners to look at those things, you know, look around them, look close around them and find those nuggets. You know, and one of the Steve Jobs' big examples was, and then the whole, I would say, computer industry is really the stimulus of investment in human capital. That I would like to see us come forward and take our place in the world, investing in human potential. And I'm talking about materially investing in that so that we can produce the kind of scholarship, the kind of technological advancements, the kind of scientific breakthroughs of other developing.
Let me do this here, Project, because I've run about five minutes.
We take sea change here. And
all
I
right.
think we're up for it. Allah has raised us up to do this. And when I look at my grandchildren, I say, you know, we're on point.
We're
headed toward the victory. Let's just keep going.
Let me take this other, because they've been holding too. We only got about 4 minutes left. Let me grab this next
Thank
one here
so
real
much.
Quick. Brother Mark.
Yes, alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam.
Yes, I just want to just quickly say that, you know, I understand where you're coming from. I understand where you're coming from. You know, there really can't be any progress without change. And people that don't change their mind, they won't be able to change anything. And so it's very, very important that when we do, have our conventions and everything, that we have a sense of purpose. The value of anything is tied to its purpose, and the good, we always try to make good better. And so I do think that that's very, very important, so that when we do leave, we have goals that are set, and then we have ways and means of obtaining goals. I do think that there is progress in the community in certain areas and all, but I think that there could be more progress, you know, and I think that's what we should be about, trying to make more progress in the community. So I understand both sides of it, and I commend you for having this conversation, because it's a very much needed conversation. Thank you, Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Area code 815, you have a question or comment?
Yes. Assalamu alaikum. I was wondering, I just tuned in, but it sounded like it was a good show. Could you could you continue this, or is there some way I can go on the internet?
Well, you can definitely go to AmericanMuslim360.com as soon as we hang up, and you can re-listen to this conversation immediately.
Okay. Thank you.
But yeah, but let's do wrap this up and let's bring it to, let's say, not necessarily a conclusion, because this is a really ongoing conversation. First of all, let me be very clear. I'm not saying that there's no progress. I'm definitely not saying that. What I am saying is as many tools and things that we have been given in America by our education, just merely working on these jobs, we have a wealth of information. It's just somehow, sometimes when we hit the masjid, and then we got to say, okay, did Prophet Muhammad do this? Did Prophet Muhammad do that? Did Prophet Muhammad do this? It just seems to melt our brain. We get caught up in that conversation to such a point that nothing happens, nothing real, nothing timely, nothing more measurable. And I'm using the term nothing, but not using that so definitively. But yes, there's progress. There's things happening. But if we think for one second that this is the best we can do, or that we're running at 60, 80%, that would be a misnomer. We're running between 20 and maybe 40%. I doubt it we're really at 40%. We're running about 20% when you really look at the wealth of experience, the number of educated people in this community. Look at, I don't know what half of you do, but I know you go to work every day, most of you. I know you work on a job that has goals, objectives, strategic plans. They got management. They got systems. They got it all. And you're participating every day. And for you then to show up at the masjid as if you don't seem to have a clue, not meaning you specifically, but you in a general sense, that bothers me. That worries me. That somehow we are not being able to transfer what we learn to our own self for our own purpose. We could be, believe me, if we honestly wanted to build a community, we could do it. There's no shortage of manpower, as Mahasin was talking about. There's no shortage of human resources, dollars. There's no shortage. It's just that collectively, we've never been able to put it together. Even if it's no more just in one small community within a masjid, I would bet you that if you took the inventory of the 50, the 100 people that come to your masjid, I could tell you right now, the inventory of this masjid where I am right now, small, less than 50 people. I can tell you right now, I bet you, that we make, on the average, probably we have $1 million plus that come through our hands. And clearly most of us are using it for our personal use. But we have engineers, we have teachers, we have professional people, we have all kinds of people, we have healthcare people. This is just a small community. We're less than 50 people right here. I know we command over $1 million worth of money every year. Our mass debt has paid off, been paid off for almost 20 years. We don't have a mortgage. Haven't had a mortgage. So what's wrong with us? I'm Thomas Abdul Salam, the twin servant of peace. Nothing I said today, I hope, took anybody any offense. I meant no offense by it. I'm going to leave you for as long as I can leave you. We did day seven Quranic reading yesterday. So we might as well try for 8 right now. Why don't we try to get 8 in? And that way you'll have that. I do believe I have 8 on the board. There it is. Juice 8. This is Juice 8. I thank everybody for your patience and, again, for listening to me and me, you know, going off, so to speak, but not going off, but being passionate about the things that I'm passionate about. And we always have to appreciate you, the listener, because you truly, truly, truly make AM 360. Assalamu alaikum, Ramadan Mubarak. Juma, 1:30 Central Standard Time. 1:30 Central Standard Time. Assalamu alaikum.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim.
I seek refuge with the law from Satan, the rejected enemy.
ولو أننا نزلنا إليهم الملائكة وكلمهم الموتى وحشرنا عليهم كل شيء قبلا ما كانوا ليؤمنوا إلا أن يشاء الله ولكن أكثرهم يجهلون.
Even if we did send unto them angels, and the dead did speak unto them, and we gathered together all things before their very eyes, they are not the ones to believe, unless it is in Allah's plan, but most of them ignore the truth.
وكذلك جعلنا لكل نبي عدوا شياطين الإنس والجن يوحي بعضهم إلى بعض زخرف القول غرورا ولو شاء ربك ما فعلوا فذرهم وما يفترون.
Likewise did we make for every messenger an enemy, Satans among men and jinns, inspiring each other with flowery discourse by way of deception. If your Lord had so willed, they would not have done it. So leave them and what they forge.
ولتصغى إليه أفئدة الذين لا يؤمنون بالآخرة وليرضوه وليقترفوا ما هم مقترفون.
To such, let the hearts of those inclined who have no faith in the hereafter, and let them delight in it, and let them earn from what they may.
أفغير الله أبتغي حكما وهو الذي أنزل إليكم الكتاب مفصلا والذين آتيناهم الكتاب يعلمون أنه منزل من ربك بالحق فلا تكونن من الممترين.
sake shall I seek for judge other than Allah, when it is He who has sent unto you the book explained in detail? They know full well to whom we will have given the book, that it has been sent down from their Lord in truth. Never be then of those who doubt.
وتمت كلمة ربك صدقا وعدلا لا مبدل لكلماته وهو السميع العليم.
The word of the Lord do find its fulfillment in truth and in justice. None can change His word, for He is the one who hears and knows all things.
وَإِن تُطِعْ أَكْثَرَ مَن فِي الْأَرْضِ يُضِلُّوكَ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ إِن يَتَّبِعُونَ إِلَّا الظَّنَّ وَإِنْ هُمْ إِلَّا يَخْرُصُونَ.
Were you to follow the common run of those on earth, they would lead you away from the way of Allah. They follow nothing but conjecture. They do nothing but lie.
إن ربك هو أعلم من يضل عن سبيله وهو أعلم بالمهتدين.
The Lord knows best who strays from His way. He knows best those who are rightly guided.
فكلوا مما ذكر اسم الله عليه إن كنتم بآياته مؤمنين.
So eat of the meats on which Allah's name has been pronounced, if you have faith in His signs.
وما لكم ألا تأكلوا مما ذكر اسم الله عليه وقد فصل لكم ما حرم عليكم إلا ما اضطررتم إليه وإن كثيرا ليضلون بأهوائهم بغير علم إن ربك هو أعلم بالمعتدين.
Why should you not eat of meats on which Allah's name has been pronounced, when He has explained to you in detail what is forbidden to you, except under compulsion of necessity? But many do mislead by the desires without knowledge. Your Lord knows best those who transgress.
إن الذين يكسبون الإثم سيجزون بما كانوا يقترفون.
Avoid all sin, open or secret. Those who earn sin will get the due recompense for their earning.
ولا تأكلوا مما لم يذكر اسم الله عليه وإنه لفسق وإن الشياطين ليوحون إلى أوليائهم ليجادلوكم إن أطعتموهم إنكم لمشركون.
Eat not of meats on which Allah's name has not been pronounced. That would be an impiety. But the Satan ever inspire their friends to contend with you. If you were to obey them, you would indeed be pagan.
أَوَمَنْ كَانَ مَيْتًا فَأَحْيَيْنَاهُ وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُ نُورًا يَمْشِي بِهِ فِي النَّاسِ كَمَن مَثَلُهُ فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ لَيْسَ بِخَارِجٍ مِنْهَا كَذَلِكَ زُيِّنَ لِلْكَافِرِينَ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ.
Can he who was dead, to whom we gave life and a light whereby he can walk among men, be like him who is in the depths of darkness, from which he can never come out? Thus do those without faith their own deeds seem pleasing.
وكذلك جعلنا في كل قرية أكابر مجرميها ليمكروا فيها وما يمكرون إلا بأنفسهم وما يشعرون.
Thus have we placed leaders in every town. Is wicked men to plot therein. But they only plot against their own souls, and they perceive it not.
وَإِذَا جَاءَتْهُمْ آيَةٌ قَالُوا لَن نُؤْمِنَ حَتَّى نُؤْتَى مِثْلَ مَا أُوتِيَ رُسُلُ اللَّهِ اللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ حَيْثُ يَجْعَلُ رِسَالَتَهُ سيصيب الذين أجرموا صغار عند الله وعذاب شديد بما كانوا يمكرون.
When there comes to them a sign from Allah, they say, we shall not believe until we receive one exactly like those received by Allah's messenger. Allah knows best where to place his mission. Soon will the wicked be overtaken by humiliation before Allah and a severe chastisement for all their plots.
فَمَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ أَنْ يَهْدِيَهُ يَشْرَحْ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ وَمَنْ يُرِدِ أَنْ يُضِلَّهُ يَجْعَلْ صَدْرَهُ ضَيِّقًا حَرَجًا كَأَنَّمَا يَصَّعَّدُ فِي السَّمَاءِ كذلك يجعل الله الرجس على الذين لا يؤمنون.
Those whom Allah will to guide, He opens their breast to Islam. Those whom He will to lead strain, He makes their breasts closed and constricted, as if they had to climb up to the skies. Thus doeth Allah lay abominations on those who refuse to believe.
وهذا صراط ربك مستقيما قد فصلنا الآيات لقوم يذكرون.
This is the way of your Lord, leading straight. We have detailed the signs to those who receive admonition.
لهم دار السلام عند ربهم وهو وليهم بما كانوا يعملون.
For them will be a home of peace with their Lord. He will be their friend because they practice righteousness.
ويوم يحشرهم جميعا يا معشر الجن قد استكثرتم من الإنس وقال أولياؤهم من الإنس ربنا استمتع بعضنا ببعض وبلغنا أجلنا الذي أجلت لنا قال النار مثواكم خالدين فيها إلا ما شاء الله إن ربك حكيم عليم.
On the day when he will gather them all together and say, O you assembly of jinns, much toil did you take of men. Their friends amongst them, men will say, Our Lord, we made profit from each other, but at last we reached our turn, which you did appoint for us. He will say, The fire be your dwelling place. You will dwell therein forever, except as Allah wills, for your Lord is full of wisdom and knowledge.
وكذلك نولي بعض الظالمين بعضا بما كانوا يكسبون.
Thus do we make the wrongdoers turn to each other because of what they earn.
يا معشر الجن والإنس ألم يأتكم رسل منكم يقصون عليكم آياتي وينذرونكم لقاء يومكم هذا قالوا شهدنا على أنفسنا غرتهم الحياة الدنيا وشهدوا على أنفسهم أنهم كانوا كافرين.
O ye assembly of jinn and men, came there not unto you messengers from among you, setting forth unto you my signs and warning you of the meeting of this day of yours? They will say, we bear witness against ourselves. It was the life of this world that deceived them. So amongst themselves will they bear witness that they received, that they rejected faith.
ذلك أن لم يكن ربك مهلك القرى بظلم وأهلها غافلون.
The messengers were sent thus for thy Lord would not destroy the towns unjustly while their occupants were unwarned.
ولكل درجات مما عملوا وما ربك بغافل عما يعملون.
So all are degrees of ranks according to their deeds. For your Lord is not unmindful of anything that they do.
وربك الغني ذو الرحمة إن يشأ يذهبكم ويستخلف من بعدكم ما يشاء كما أنشأكم من ذرية قوم آخرين.
The Lord is self-sufficient, full of mercy. If it were his will, he could destroy you, and in your place appoint whom he will as your successors, even as he raised you up from the prosperity of other people.
إنما توعدون لآت وما أنتم بمعجزين.
All that has been promised unto you will come to pass, nor can you frustrate it.
قل يا قوم اعملوا على مكانتكم إني عامل فسوف تعلمون من تكون له عاقبة الدار إنه لا يفلح الظالمون.
Say, O my people, do whatever you can. I will do my part. Soon will you know who it is whose end will be best in the hereafter. Certainly it is that the wrongdoers will not prosper.
وجعلوا لله مما ذرأ من الحرث والأنعام نصيبا فقالوا هذا لله بزعمهم وهذا لشركائنا فما كان لشركائهم فلا يصل إلى الله وما كان لله فهو يصل إلى شركائهم ساء ما يحكمون.
Out of that, what Allah has produced in abundance, in tilth and in cattle, they assign him a share that they say, according to their fancies, this is for Allah, and this for our partners. But the share of their partners reaches not Allah, while the share of Allah reaches their partners. Evil is their judgment.
وكذلك زين لكثير من المشركين قتل أولادهم شركاؤهم ليردوهم وليلبسوا عليهم دينهم ولو شاء الله ما فعلوه فذرهم وما يفترون.
These even so, in the eyes of most of the pagans, their partners made alluring the slaughter of their children in order to lead them to their own destruction and cause confusion in their religion. If Allah had willed, He would not have done so, but leaves alone them and what they forged.
وقالوا هذه أنعام وحرث حجر لا يطعمها إلا من نشاء بزعمهم وأنعام حرمت ظهورها وأنعام لا يذكرون اسم الله عليها افتراء عليه سيجزيهم بما كانوا يفترون.
And they say that such and such cattle and crops are forbidden, and none should eat of them except those whom, so they say, we wish for this. There are cattle forbidden to yoke a burden, and cattle on which at slaughter the name of Allah is not pronounced, forging in a lie against Allah's name. Soon will He requite them for what they forged.
وقالوا ما في بطون هذه الأنعام خالصة لذكورنا ومحرم على أزواجنا وإن يكن ميتة فهم فيه شركاء سيجزيهم وصفهم إنه حكيم عليم.
They say, what is in the wombs of such and such cattle is especially reserved for food for our men and forbidden for our women. But if it is stillborn, then all have shares therein. For their false attributions of suspicion to Allah, we will soon punish them, for He is full of wisdom and knowledge.
قد خسر الذين قتلوا أولادهم سفها بغير علم وحرموا ما رزقهم الله افتراء على الله قد ضلوا وما كانوا مهتدين.
Lost are those who slay their children from folly without knowledge and forbid food when Allah has provided for them, forging lies against Allah. They have indeed gone astray and heeded no guidance.
وهو الذي أنشأ جنات معروشات وغير معروشات والنخل والزرع مختلفا أكله والزيتون والرمان متشابها وغير متشابه كلوا من ثمره إذا أثمر وآتوا حقه يوم حصاده ولا تسرفوا إنه لا يحب المسرفين.
It is He who has produced gardens with trusses and without, and dates and tilth, with produce of all kinds, and olives and pomegranates, similar in kind and different in variety. Eat of their fruit in their season, but render the dues that are proper on the day of the harvest when the harvest is gathered. But waste not access, for Allah loves not the wasters.
ومن الأنعام حمولة وفرشا كلوا مما رزقكم الله ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين.
Of the cattle are some for burden and some for meat. Eat what Allah has provided for you and follow not the footsteps of Satan. For He is to you an avowed enemy.
ثمانية أزواج من الضأن اثنين ومن المعز اثنين قل أذكرين حرم أم الأنثيين أم اشتملت عليه أرحام الأنثيين نبئوني بعلم إن كنتم صادقين.
Take 8 heads of cattle and 4 pairs of sheep up here and of goats up here. Say, as he forbids the two males or the two females or the young which the wounds of the two females enclose. Tell me with knowledge if you are truthful.
وَمِنَ الْإِبِلِ اثْنَيْنِ وَمِنَ الْبَقَرِ اثْنَيْنِ قُلْ ذكرين حرم أم الأنثيين أم اشتملت عليه أرحام الأنثيين أم كنتم شهداء إذ وصاكم الله بهذا فمن أظلم ممن افترى على الله كذبا ليضل الناس بغير علم إن الله لا يهدي القوم الظالمين.
Of the cattle a pair and of the oxen a pair. Say, as he forbidden the two males or the two females, or the young which their wounds of the two females enclose. Were you present when Allah ordered you such a thing? But who does more wrong than one who invents a lie against Allah? To lead astray men without knowledge. For Allah will guide not people who do wrong.
قل لا أجد فيما أوحي إلي محرما على طاعم يطعمه إلا أن يكون ميتة أو دما مسفوحا أو لحم خنزير فإنه رجس أو فسقا أهل لغير الله به فمن اضطر غير باغ ولا عاد فإن ربك غفور رحيم.
I find not in the message received by me by inspiration any meat forbidden to be eaten by one who wishes to eat it unless it be dead meat or blood poured forth or the flesh of swine, for it is an abomination or impious meat on which a name has been invoked other than Allah. But even so, excuse me, if a person is forced by necessity without willful disobedience nor transgressing due limits, thy Lord is all forgiving, most merciful.
وعلى الذين هادوا حرمنا كل ذي ظفر ومن البقر والغنم حرمنا عليهم شحومهما إلا ما حملت ظهورهما أو الحوايا أو ما اختلط بعظم ذلك جزيناهم ببغيهم وإنا لصادقون.
For those who follow the Jewish law, we forbid every animal with undivided hoof, and we forbid them the fat of the oxen and the sheep, except what adheres to their backs or their entails, or is mixed up with their bones. This is a recompense for their willful disobedience, for we are true in our origin.
فَإِن كَذَّبُوكَ فَقُلْ رَبُّكُمْ ذُو رَحْمَةٍ وَاسِعَةٍ وَلَا يُرَدُّ بَاسُهُ عَنِ الْقَوْمِ الْمُجْرِمِينَ.
If they accuse you of falsehood, say, your Lord is full of mercy, all embracing. But from people in guilt, never will his wrath be turned back.
سيقول الذين أشركوا لو شاء الله ما أشركنا ولا آباؤنا ولا حرمنا من شيء كذلك كذب الذين من قبلهم حتى ذاقوا بأسنا قل هل عندكم من علم فتخرجوه لنا إن تتبعون إلا الظن وإن أنتم إلا تخرصون.
Those who give partners to Allah will say, if Allah had wished, we should not have given partners to Him, nor should our fathers, nor should we have had any forbidden things. So did the ancestors argue falsely until they taste of our wrath. Say, have you any certain knowledge? If so, produce it before us. We follow nothing but you follow nothing but congestion. You do nothing but lie.
قل فلله الحجة البالغة فلو شاء لهداكم أجمعين.
Say, with Allah is the argument that reaches home. If it had been His will, He could indeed have guided you all.
قل هلم شهداءكم الذين يشهدون أن الله حرم هذا فإن شهدوا فلا تشهد معهم ولا تتبع أهواء الذين كذبوا بآياتنا والذين لا يؤمنون بالآخرة وهم بربهم يعدلون.
Bring forward your witness to prove that Allah did forbid you so and so. If they bring such witnesses, be not you among them, nor follow you the vain desires of such as treat Allah's signs as falsehoods, and such as believe not in the hereafter, for they hold others as equal with their guardian lords.